At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Right now, the United States is experiencing the biggest border crisis in American history. And I'm looking at the front pages of the biggest newspapers in the United States right now, and none of them are even covering it. The top headlines over at the Washington Post are all about a UN court, which is entirely irrelevant, ordering Israel to do more to prevent harm in the Gaza Strip, or an Alabama man being put to death with nitrogen gas. Nothing about the giant wave of illegal immigration on a border that is now spurring a constitutional showdown between the state of Texas and, by the way, 24 other states and the federal government. Same thing over at the New York Times. Nothing at the top of the homepage. Nothing on what is going on at the border. Why? Because when it comes to the Democratic Party and their lackeys in the press, they must cover up what is going on at the southern border. Because if Americans understand what's going on at the southern border, Joe Biden will not be reelected. It is that simple. What is going on at the southern border is a travesty. So as I mentioned to you, I've been mentioning to you for a few weeks here, near the beginning of January, we actually went down to the southern border in Arizona. And it is absolutely stunning what is going on at the southern border. Not merely the numbers of people who are showing up at ports of entry and then being caught and released. Catch and release is where you claim asylum. They bring you in. They process you. There are no beds for detention facilities, and they're not going to detain you anyway if you come in with a kid for very long. So instead, they just release you into the interior with a comeback later date, which nobody ever does. It's not just that. It is that the drug cartels are in complete control of the southern border. We have a documentary that is now available at Daily Wire Plus that shows you everything that we saw at the southern border. We took a giant tour about 25 miles of the southern border in Arizona with Brandon Judd, who is, in fact, the head of the Border Patrol Officers Union. And it is astonishing because, again, not only is the southern border largely undefended, it is made so by this administration. This administration has decided that what they are going to do is turn CBP into a busing and processing service. They're effectively the DMV on the southern border for illegal immigrants. What you're going to see in this documentary, when you go over to Daily Wire Plus, one of the things that you're going to see is a sign that is at the southern border that literally says to illegal immigrants in Spanish, push this button for Border Patrol help. This is over at the San Miguel Gate in Arizona, which is actually on a Native American reservation right at the border. There is no border wall over there because the Native American reservation does not want a border wall over there. So you can literally just step over the border, walk into Mexico, walk back across the border into the United States. People are arriving en masse, dropped off by drug cartels. Drug cartels are literally taking trucks filled with illegal immigrants, and they're driving them yards from the border, dropping them off, having people walk across because of Joe Biden's asylum policies, which are different than Donald Trump's asylum policies. People are throwing up their hands, surrendering to Border Patrol. Border Patrol is then letting them into the country. That's what catch and release is. And we are talking about millions of people every year. Some estimates, low-end estimates, say 6 million illegal immigrants have entered the United States since Joe Biden took office. High-end estimates put that number all the way up at 10 million illegal immigrants. And it's not just that. Because the drug cartels know exactly what Joe Biden has done, they have essentially decided to use this asylum process not only to smuggle more people across the border, because it doesn't require very much. You literally just drop somebody off at the border the same way I would drop my kids off at school. They don't just do that. They flood these particular areas of the border. Border Patrol then has a legal duty to help process all of these people. And as we show in the documentary, this means large swaths of the border are then unprotected. We drove for 25 miles along America's southern border in Arizona, not a single Border Patrol agent. Not one. Zero Border Patrol agents. Why? They were all over at the detention facility doing processing work where they take basic information about your life. Illegal immigrants are coming across the border with phone numbers of people in various cities they wish to visit. We literally have on tape sheets of paper with phone numbers of people in Denver, in Atlanta, in Houston. The entire desert is covered in trash over there, trash left by illegal immigrants who are crossing that desert to get it. And again, it's not just that the drug cartels are getting paid for the illegal immigrants that they smuggle in at the border. It's that the drug cartels are trying to gather Border Patrol agents to the processing facilities and away from guarding the border so that the really dangerous people, not just the illegal immigrants who want to come here and who want to work, some want to be on welfare. We're talking about the people who are actively dangerous, people with criminal records, people who are terrorists, people who want to smuggle drugs into the country. When the border is unprotected, that's when these people cross the border with the help of the Mexican drug cartels. How much technical superiority do the drug cartels have at America's southern border? When we were down there, as we show in our documentary, it's the first episode of a new series we're putting out called The Divided States of Biden. You should go check it out right now at dailywire.com. One incident that we observed. We're sitting down there at the border, and it's the night. We're waiting to see what happens. And suddenly, I hear a buzzing in the sky. And I look back, and there's a drone. And I turn to the Border Patrol agent with whom we are sitting, and I say, I assume that that's an American drone to monitor, you know, the border. He says, nope. We don't have drones in this area. That is a Mexican drug cartel drone flying over American territory, by the way. This is an American territory. Flying over American territory and hovering near the car we were sitting. Why are they hovering near our car? Because the drug cartels know with such precision which Border Patrol agents are where that they recognize that this car did not belong. And so they were hovering to try and establish what exactly that car was. So I asked the Border Patrol agent, you can see this all in the documentary. I asked the Border Patrol agent, why don't we shoot it down? Right? I mean, that is a foreign aerial surveillance vehicle from Mexican drug cartels, from a criminal cartel. And he says, you have to elevate that all the way to the Secretary of Homeland Security to get permission to shoot that down. That is what Joe Biden has done on our border. He has turned our Border Patrol agents into either sitting ducks or facilitation agents for illegal immigration. And that is why the state of Texas is now saying, no, we are going to enforce the border. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First,
hey, everyone, this is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, here's the problem. The state of Texas can only do so much so far. Meaning that the state of Texas can put up razor wire. The state of Texas can put physical impediments on the border to stop people from crossing over the American border. One of the big problems with the Trump border wall, which, again, is a great thing. The border wall is very useful, except you actually have to have people to guard the border wall so that illegal immigrants and drug cartel members don't actually just solder directly through the Border Patrol wall. I mean, we actually saw evidence of this. Again, in the documentary, you will see sections of the wall that have been completely cut through by the drug cartels. Okay, but one of the things that is amazing, truly amazing, is, again, that not only would Texas have to build more impediments there, Texas would somehow have to come up with a mechanism for expelling people back south of the border. And that's something that Texas has not done yet. Not only that, even if Texas were to do that, because of Joe Biden's asylum policy, all that would do is then focus all the rest of the illegal immigration at ports of entry where people would still claim asylum. That would be better than it currently is, where they're just crossing the southern border anywhere and throwing up their hands. And the drug cartels are literally using them as a distraction technique so they can get fentanyl across the border and terrorists across the border. It would be better. But the federal government is to blame for all of this. The federal government has purposefully left the southern border not only undefended, but in the control of criminal drug cartels. This is not merely people who are straggling across the border one by one trying to get to a better life. This is being facilitated. It is being created by the Mexican drug cartels. In fact, while we were down at the San Miguel Gate, you can tell all this is happening. Why? Because the day that we were down at the San Miguel Gate, which was, again, early January, there wasn't a lot of illegal immigration that day. Why? Because the drug cartels were busy having a firefight on the other side of the border with one another. They were too busy killing each other to actually bring people up to the border that day. The drug cartels are in complete control down there. They're in complete control. And I'm not the only one saying this. This is a Joe Biden policy. This did not exist under Donald Trump. Donald Trump had a couple of policies that made it significantly harder for illegal immigrants to cross this way. One, remain in Mexico. Remain in Mexico is the single most important policy that Joe Biden dumped, and he dumped it day one in office, and he could reinstate it today. Again, it is illegal to do what Joe Biden is doing on the border. The law specifies that illegal immigrants must be detained, not that they can be detained. They must be detained until they have an asylum hearing. Remain in Mexico changed the law via executive order and executive agreement with the state of Mexico. That Remain in Mexico policy said that, effectively speaking, if you came to the border and you claimed asylum, you had to wait south of the border before you could get your court date. Well, that radically cut down on the number of people who are arriving at the border and claiming asylum, because if you claim asylum and you are immediately released into the United States within 72 hours, which is what is happening right now, that is a very different story than you arrive at the border, you claim asylum, we tell you, wait in Mexico, you show up for a court date, you don't have a claim for asylum, and you go back to Mexico. That's a very different outcome. It's a 100% different outcome. Okay, but the fact is, Joe Biden decided he didn't like the outcome with less illegal immigration. He is facilitating all of this, and it's really, really dangerous. There's a letter that went out about a week and a half ago from a couple of former members of the FBI and the CIA, a guy named Chris Swecker, who's assistant director of the Criminal Investigative Division of the FBI, retired, and Kevin Brock, who's an assistant director of the Directorate of Intelligence at the FBI, at the National Counterterrorism Center, also retired. And what they point out, and they are totally right, is that this is a massive national security threat. They say, as former senior executives of the FBI with deep experience combating dangers to the nation, we write to express our concern about a current specific threat that may be one of the most pernicious ever to menace the United States. The danger arises from the nature of the threat itself. Wars and espionage and bombings and riots are sadly familiar delivery systems of instability, intimidation, and insecurity. The country has faced these and more throughout its history and is held together, though not without struggle. The threat we call out today is new and unfamiliar. In its modern history, the United States has never suffered an invasion of the homeland, and yet one is unfolding right now. Military-aged men from across the globe, many from regions or countries not friendly to the United States, are landing in waves on our soil by the thousands. It would be difficult to overstate the danger represented by the presence inside our borders of what is a comparatively multi-division army of single young adult males from hostile nations and regions whose background, intent, or allegiance is completely unknown. In 2021, they say, the demographics of those crossing the porous southern border started to shift. Young men from around the world traveling alone and holding questionable motivations dramatically increased in number to become the most common profile of those breaching the nation's borders. This happens to be true, by the way. We are told by Border Patrol agents who shall remain nameless that the number of terrorists who are being captured at the border is completely unspecified. They have no idea. Even when somebody is caught on the terror watch list, that doesn't necessarily mean that the person is a terrorist, because the terror watch list is really, really vague. It's the unknown unknowns that are truly dangerous. Whenever we look at the stats on the southern border, you have to recognize there's a few different things that are being aggregated together. One is border apprehensions. Border apprehension, by the way, does not mean the person is kicked back to Mexico. A border apprehension or a border encounter means the person is taken by CBP and then processed, which means they end up in the country the vast majority of the time under Joe Biden if they know the magic words. If they say, open sesame, I want asylum, I fear to go back to my country, you're let into the country. It's that simple. So that is type number one. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, I've been talking about my Helix mattress for years. I've had my Helix for, I don't know, almost a decade, and it is fantastic. It is the gift that keeps on giving. It may be the only thing keeping me upright at this point is the sleep I get on my Helix sleep mattress. Helix is now introducing their newest, most high-end collection, the Helix Elite. Helix Elite harnesses years of extensive mattress expertise to offer a truly elevated sleep experience. That Helix Elite collection includes six different mattress models, each tailored for specific sleep positions and firmness preferences. Head on over to helixsleep.com/Ben. Check out the new collection today. If you're nervous about buying a mattress online, you don't have to be, because Helix has a sleep quiz that matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Because why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? And I took that Helix quiz that matched me with a firm but breathable mattress, which is exactly what I needed. Why don't you get a mattress made for you? Go to helixsleep.com/Ben. Take that 2-minute sleep quiz. Find the perfect mattress for your own body and sleep type. Mattress will come directly to your door for free. Plus, Helix has a 10-year warranty. Try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Got nothing to lose. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders, plus two free pillows for my listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Ben. Use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It's not going to last long. Again, that's HELIXPARTNER20 at helixsleep.com/Ben. All right, coming up, we're going to get into who exactly is crossing the border. We've talked about people who are crossing because they want a job or they want welfare or whatever. Those are not even the dangerous immigrants. We'll get to that in a second. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant, Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're talking about the type of illegal immigration that's happening here in the United States under Joe Biden's open border. You have type one, which are people who are crossing the border to get a job or to get a work permit or to eventually become citizens, get welfare, whatever it is. That's bad. But the really scary people are the gotaways. Type number two are people who are gotaways. Okay, those are known gotaways. So there is largely camera coverage of the entire southern border. Okay, that camera coverage is very comprehensive. But you need to have actual agents who are watching 24 hours a day, the camera coverage, to see what they can see. Now, a bunch of those people don't get captured. They get seen on the cameras and they escape into the interior. We have no idea who they are. That number is at least 600,000 last year, at least 600,000 known gotaways just last year. How about the unknown gotaways? How the hell should CBP know? They have no idea. They may be able to give some estimates, but they literally have no idea. I mean, that is an unknown unknown. So they don't know how many of those. But what we do know is that if those people wanted to just be released in the United States and for the U.S. government to know who they were and what they were about, if that's what they wanted, if they just wanted to come here and they wanted to work illegally and then hope for amnesty at some point, they want to come here, get married, apply for a green card, they want to come here and be on welfare in California or whatever. If they wanted all of that, the easiest way to do that is to throw up your hands and surrender to CBP. The people who are crossing as unknown gotaways are people who should not be in the country under any circumstances, not just because they're illegal immigrants, but because they probably have criminal records or drug connections at a minimum. And many of them probably have terror connections as well, because that's why you're avoiding CBP. It's one thing back in the olden days when CBP was actually trying to stop everyone from crossing the border to say that many of the people who are crossing the border between ports of entry and trying to evade border patrol, those people are not criminals in the sense of anything except for the illegal immigration. And many of those people are, you know, the people who proverbially work in the fields or do the cleaning or whatever the left wants to say they're important for, because the left is very racist with regard to a lot of these people. But with that said, now that it is very obvious that you can surrender to Border Patrol and then move to Houston or go to Atlanta or go to Colorado or whatever, the only people attempting to evade the Border Patrol are people who are presumably dangerous. And that amounts to millions of people every single year because of what they are doing. By the way, the drug cartels know this. The drug cartels know this. Some of the most shocking footage from the documentary that we just put out at Daily Wire Plus, and again, you should go check it out because it really is shocking stuff. CBP told us that some of the stuff that the drug cartels do, for example, is they literally, if they're being chased by CBP and they are traveling with children, they will literally discard the children. We're talking about babies. We're talking about babies, like toddlers or smaller. Discard the children, hoping that CBP will go and care for the children as they are morally duty-bound to do, so they can evade arrest. So they'll literally take human babies and throw them to the side of the road in an attempt to distract CBP so they can escape into the interior of the country. They have no regard for human life, the drug cartels. None. And this is being, again, facilitated by the federal government. So as these former FBI agents say, all of this is particularly alarming in light of the Hamas terror attack on Israel last October 7th. Those of us who have fought terrorism know that historically successful terror attacks invite mimicry. We know as well that terror leaders intentionally cultivate throngs of young men possessing a certain easily manipulated personality type to carry out atrocities. It is stark to say so, but having a large number of young males now within our borders who could begin attacking gatherings of unarmed citizens in imitation of 10-7 must be considered a distinct possibility. That, of course, makes perfect sense. And what we are watching right now is absolutely unprecedented on our southern border, and the media have nothing to say about it. The only thing the media can do is yell at Republicans. Joe Biden has the legal power to close the border today. No further legislation is necessary. Joe Biden can do exactly what Donald Trump did. Joe Biden can reinterpret the asylum laws to require that you make a colorable showing that you will, in fact, receive asylum before you're released into the country. Joe Biden can detain people and should detain people when they cross the border. Joe Biden can renegotiate Remain in Mexico and do that again. Apparently, his aides don't want to do that because they're afraid it'll hand Trump a victory. So they would literally rather keep the border open rather than hand Donald Trump a victory. All of this is leading the states at the southern border, led by Texas, to actually try and do something about it. When I say the states at the southern border, I really only mean Texas. New Mexico is Democrat-governed. They don't care about an open border. Arizona is governed by Katie Hobbs. She's deployed the National Guard back in December a little bit, but I can tell you the border is wide open because I was there. It is. Katie Hobbs has said nothing, virtually nothing, about the Biden administration's malfeasance here. Greg Abbott, for his part, is trying to set up physical barriers along the southern border. That's what that razor wire is. That's why they put barriers in the middle of the Rio Grande, because they haven't come up with a process yet whereby Texas will actually expel people back south of the border, which is what you would actually need to do if you were going to repel the wave of illegal immigration that is currently happening. Plus, you'd need way more personnel down at the border. It's not just enough to have razor wire. You'd actually have to have people who could theoretically arrest people and then come up with some mechanism for deporting them back to Mexico, because if they get to the razor wire and they get through the razor wire, then the same laws that apply to Border Patrol still apply, presumably. There's no mechanism in the state of Texas for actually expelling people once they cross illegally. They can hand them over to the federal government, presumably, but the federal government will then presumably release these people after processing them. In any case, here is Governor Abbott explaining that he's doing the best that he can over here.
One quick point of clarification. Something, Bill, you just said that everybody's saying, and that is that the Supreme Court, you said the Supreme Court said what Texas cannot do. If you look at what the Supreme Court actually issued, they didn't write any type of opinion. All they did was to vacate a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals order and to send it back to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's two sentences. There was no opinion about anything about razor wire or what Texas is doing or anything like that. But that point aside, regardless of what federal statute may exist, the Supremacy Clause means that the Constitution itself is the supreme law of the land. The Constitution itself provides Texas with a right of self-defense in this case, because the United States has abandoned its responsibility to defend Texas.
Already coming up, what exactly is the Biden administration going to do now that Texas is resisting? Well, they're going to have to either sue or acquiesce. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howell, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
And holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Biden administration is now faced with the prospect of 26 states, actually, including Texas, resisting their open borders policy. The Biden administration is going to be forced to a choice here. That choice is going to be to either sue the state of Texas for trying to enforce the border and try and force them to open up the razor wire, just actively sue, not to allow Texas to allow Border Patrol agents to cut the razor wire, but to stop Texas from reinforcing the border, to actually side with vast swaths of illegal immigration. They're going to have to sue, or they're going to have to acquiesce. Right now they're choosing a third path, which is to try to blame Republicans politically. I do not think that is going to work. Republican governors all over the United States are backing Greg Abbott's play, as well they should. There are 27 Republican governors in the United States at this point. One of them is Governor Abbott, of course. And then every other Republican governor in the country has backed Greg Abbott's play. If you look at a map, it's every red state, basically. There are a few sort of exceptions that are red states with blue governors, and the blue governors refuse to back Greg Abbott's play. And as you will see, Arizona and New Mexico are a couple of the states that are not doing what Greg Abbott is doing here. But many of these governors came out early. They said, we're sending National Guard troops down to help do what Texas needs to do here. Here's Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida making that case.
Biden is going after Texas, saying that they must remove fortifications from their border. They put wire, they put things to keep people out. Biden saying you got to take that down to let people come in illegally, which is just crazy. And I remarked that if the Constitution was originally understood to mean that a state could not protect itself against an invasion, if the federal government could force a state to allow an invasion, the Constitution would have never been ratified in the first place. Texas would have never joined the Union when it did. And if you look at Federalist 46, which Daniel Horowitz pointed out, James Madison talks about situations where federal encroachment can be mitigated by state action. So you have Texas here that's holding its ground. They have every right to fortify the border vis-a-vis an invasion, and that's Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. So they're in the right.
Okay. DeSantis, of course, is correct here. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry, he also expressed his support for Greg Abbott.
We support legal, not illegal, immigration. We support secure and safe borders, not open border policies that allow criminals, human trafficking, and drugs to pour into this country. We stand with Governor Abbott and Texas in reminding the federal government that under our Constitution, states are still sovereign, and we have the right to protect our citizens.
Meanwhile, both Republican candidates still technically in the race. Nikki Haley is still technically in the race. And, of course, Donald Trump is the leader in the Republican nomination race. Nikki Haley actually put out a statement before Trump did. Here is Nikki Haley's statement yesterday about what's going on at the border. She said, Governor Abbott is right. The state of Texas has every right to defend itself and its borders. It's absolutely ridiculous that Joe Biden is trying to stop governors from doing everything they can to protect their citizens. It's also nothing new. Biden was part of the administration that sued me when I passed one of the toughest anti-illegal immigration laws in the country as governor of South Carolina. And the reason I point this out is because when it comes to the 2024 GOP nomination race, let's be clear about this. There are no open borders candidates in the race, and there really haven't been throughout this entire Republican nomination race. Donald Trump did come out late yesterday with a couple of statements on Truth Social. He said, when I was president, we had the most secure border in history. Joe Biden has surrendered our border and is aiding and abetting a massive invasion of millions of illegal migrants into the United States. Instead of fighting to protect our country from this onslaught, Biden is unbelievably fighting to tie the hands of Governor Abbott and the state of Texas so that the invasion continues unchecked. In the face of this national security, public safety, and public health catastrophe, Texas has rightly invoked the invasion clause of the Constitution and must be given full support to repel the invasion. We encourage all willing states to deploy their guards to Texas to prevent the entry of illegals and to remove them back across the border. Now, again, that's an extension beyond even what Texas is doing right now. Texas is not actively removing people back across the border once they get in. They're presumably being turned over to Border Patrol. But that is what Texas will have to do, or will have to be. We'll have to make that case to the Supreme Court that they can do. All Americans should support the common sense measures by Texas authorities to protect the safety, security, and sovereignty of Texas and of the American people, says Trump. When I am president on day one, instead of fighting Texas, I will work hand in hand with Governor Abbott and other border states to stop the invasion, seal the border, and rapidly begin the largest domestic deportation operation in history. Those Biden has let in should not get comfortable because they will be going home. So first of all, great statement. Obvious Trump didn't write it. I mean, they added some weird capitalization to try and make it seem like he wrote, but it doesn't matter. Again, here's the thing about Trump. Trump Term 1 and presumably a prospective Trump Term 2. the people who make policy in the Trump administration are going to do a pretty good job. And that is true when it comes to illegal immigration above all other matters. Again, having spoken to Border Patrol agents, and you can see us talk about it, again, at the DW Plus documentary that we just made about this that you should go check out right now, become a subscriber, and you can see all of it. The policy radically shifted from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. Joe Biden came in, he got rid of all the policies, and that is why you have a wide open border. Meanwhile, it's amazing how Democrats have shifted their own positions on the border over time. It really is truly an incredible thing. So here is Joe Biden back in 2007 talking about sanctuary cities. Again, when people talk about bipartisan polarization in the United States, something that is worth noting here, the Republican Party has not actually gotten more right wing on anything my entire life. In fact, they've gotten more left wing on a wide variety of issues, ranging from, say, gay marriage to things like federal spending. The only area where they seem to have even held the line is on immigration. Democrats are the ones who have had an asymmetric polarization. Democrats have moved radically to the left on every issue. Here's a person you might recall from when he was sentient, Joe Biden, talking in 2007 about sanctuary cities.
Would you allow these cities to ignore the federal law regarding the reporting of illegal immigrants and, in fact, provide sanctuary to these immigrants?
The reason the cities ignore the federal law is the fact that there is no funding at the federal level to provide for the kind of enforcement at a federal level you need. Pick up the New York Times today. There's a city not far across the river from my state that imposed a similar sanctions. And what they found out is, as a consequence of that, their city went in the dumps, in the dumpster. Stores started closing. Everything started to happen. And they changed the policy. Part of the problem is you have to have a federal government that can enforce laws. This administration has been fundamentally derelict in not funding any of the requirements that are needed even to enforce the existing law.
Senator Biden, yes or no, would you allow the cities to ignore the federal law?
No.
Okay, that is Joe Biden back when, again, he was a sentient person. By the way, the amazing contrast between Joe Biden speaking in 2007, not just on policy, and Joe Biden speaking in 2024, it's astonishing. When you watch that back-to-back with Joe Biden speaking now, this is not even remotely the same human being. And it truly is an amazing thing. We'll get to Joe Biden and the fact that he is, like, breaking down in real time in a little bit here. But that's how far the Democratic Party has moved. They've moved just that far. It is truly amazing. So much so that a top ICE official named Patrick Lechleitner actually had his chief of staff meet with Abolish Borders activists and then had to defend that the other day. Here we go.
So I'm wondering why the ICE chief of staff met with an Abolish Borders activist earlier this week. Could you explain, like, is that counter to ICE's mission?
No, thanks. That's a good question. No, not at all. So the ICE chief of staff, Michael Lumpkin, and, he's a great partner. So he came on as a great partner with me. We meet with as many parties on either side of the aisle as possible to get everyone's take on this. We're mission-focused and mission-oriented, and we support our workforce as much as possible to get the mission done. And absolutely not. It's not out of the normal to meet with various organizations that are more aggressive on immigration or want to be less aggressive on immigration. It's actually what we need to do. We need to make sure we understand the dialogue so that we can communicate with folks and explain kind of where we're coming from as an operational component.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Abolish Borders activists do not need to be meeting with ICE. They don't need to be meeting with the Department of Homeland Security. Their goal is to ignore the law and eviscerate the law. Again, one of the things we saw down at the border when we were in Arizona, signs of so-called humanitarian groups literally directing illegal immigrants away from law enforcement. People leaving in the desert, bottles of water. By the way, not by the ports of entry, not by the places where only the sort of civilian illegal immigrants are going. But places where criminal illegal immigrants are the most likely to be actually getting those bottles of water as they run into the country. Again, nobody wants people to suffer. Nobody is suggesting anything remotely like that. But if you want to facilitate human suffering, let the drug cartels continue to do what they are doing. They are earning tens of billions of dollars every single year via illegal immigration and drug smuggling at these borders. And so Democrats have now been left with a final attempted move here before they have to cave on this thing. And that is they're going to try to pretend that they are willing to compromise on the border when they really are not. And there are some Republicans who are willing to help them out in this, Mitt Romney being the most prominent among them. So here is Kamala Harris making this case. She says that there's a congressional negotiation going on. Right? It's been going on for months at this point. It's a congressional negotiation over a $105 billion bill that that will provide $60 billion in aid to Ukraine, military aid to Ukraine, some $14 billion in military aid to Israel, a little bit of military aid to Taiwan, and some border money. The problem is that all of the provisions on the border are really, really soft. As Andy McCarthy has pointed out, the Republicans in the Senate have negotiated a truly bad piece of legislation. According to McCarthy's back in December, he says what's reportedly being discussed is a triggering mechanism that would empower government agents to close the border to illegal immigrants. Not surprisingly, Democrats do not want border closure triggered until 5,000 aliens have crossed. That's on average a day. 5,000 illegal immigrants a day. That's what Democrats were looking for in this negotiation. Republicans have signaled they would agree to 3,000 border crossings a day. Let me just point out at this point, 3,000 border crossings a day would be 1.1 million people crossing the border over the course of a year. That's what Republicans were seeking to do as a compromise with Democrats. Now, again, Joe Biden does not need additional authority to do any of this. Joe Biden could do it today. Joe Biden could simply declare that he is going to pursue a Remain in Mexico policy, that everyone who crosses the border will be detained until they actually have a date in court, no matter how long that takes. He can do all those things. He's not doing any of those things. Okay, these Republicans have not pursued the stuff that Democrats are unwilling to sign off on include, for example, a provision that requires that if somebody shows up at the border and claims asylum, they have to show by a preponderance of the evidence that they actually will get asylum. Otherwise, they'll be immediately deported. Now, that seems perfectly reasonable to me. You're making a claim for asylum. It shouldn't be enough for you just to say, I claim asylum, woo, like Michael Scott walking into the middle of the office and declaring bankruptcy. You have to show some actual evidence that you require asylum. And by the way, it should be pointed out at this point, there is no quote-unquote right to asylum. That is not a thing. The federal government has the power to declare who can get asylum and who cannot get asylum. There's no unspecified right that attaches to foreign citizens of other countries who simply declare things without any evidence. In any case, here is Kamala Harris pretending that because Republicans are not caving on this border deal, it's Republicans' fault that the border is open. Joe Biden could close it today.
The first bill that we offered was a bill to fix the immigration system.
And that's when you controlled both houses.
Lies.
And Congress did not take it up. And I will tell you that this is, first of all, not a new issue, but sadly it has become so deeply partisan. And the subject of then political gamesmanship, when in fact the solutions are at hand, and we offered a solution early on and invited bipartisan work. Let's work on it to fix this. And, in fact, we have right now a proposal for $14 billion so that we can put more resources to address this very situation. And we hope and are really trying to compel, in particular, some of the Republicans in Congress to participate in the solution. But, sadly, we want to fix it. They want to run on it.
No, you don't want to fix it. You want to open the spigot wide. They want more funding for the border. What do they mean by that? They want more administrative law judges to allow people into the country more easily and more resources at the border patrol stations for detention processing. That is what they want. They don't want more resources along the southern border so that we can actually guard the southern border, for example. That's not what they want. But naturally, you have people like Mitt Romney who are doing the bidding of Democrats on this sort of stuff. Here is Mitt Romney, who has not yet actually left the Senate. He needs to go now. Enough. Saying that it's really because Donald Trump is lobbying against the bill that the bill is dying. Now, if the bill were good, that would be one thing. But the bill is not good. I'd be in favor of some sort of grabbing as much of the law as you can right now, regardless of the election, because you got to grab what you can grab when you can grab it, because you just don't know how the election is going to go. But the bill that is being proposed right now, at least the details that have been leaked out, are bad. But here is Mitt Romney trying to, I guess, jump on the Democratic bandwagon, Captain Inflation Reduction Act over here. Jumping on the Democratic bandwagon as per usual arrangement.
Do you think this is what he wants, the issue, Donald Trump? This is what he's
doing? I think the border is a very important issue for Donald Trump. And the fact that he would communicate to Republican senators and Congress people that he doesn't want us to solve the border problem because he wants to blame Biden for it is really appalling. But the reality is that we have a crisis at the border. The American people are suffering as a result of what's happening at the border. And someone running for president ought to try and get the problem solved as opposed to saying, hey, save that problem. Don't solve it.
Okay, again, The problem is not getting solved by the legislation presented by the Senate, and it will die in the House anyway. In just one second, we'll get to this purported House negotiations and Senate negotiations in just one second. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
Live in.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It is truly amazing that the Democrats are trying to claim that the open border is Republicans' fault. So meanwhile, again, the media are trying to drive a sentiment that it's really Republicans who are standing in the way of the border issue. Joe Biden is the president. Joe Biden is the guy who's in charge of the border. It's Joe Biden who's going to war with the state of Texas to keep that border open. Meanwhile, the Senate negotiations continue. According to Politico, the White House is not backing away from negotiations over a border deal, even as Donald Trump moves to scuttle those talks. Now, again, it is in Donald Trump's political interest for Joe Biden to be put on the defensive. This is not unusual in politics. It isn't. Donald Trump would like for Joe Biden to have to run on his border record. And he's not wrong. Joe Biden has the legal authority today. I'll say this 1,000 times because it's true. He has the legal authority today to close the border, and he is not doing any of that. So you don't need any more negotiations. You don't need more border law. You don't need any of that stuff. Joe Biden could close it today. He's not doing it. It is on him. But they're trying to blame Trump for no more border negotiation or something like that. The White House is still hopeful a deal could be struck. On the Hill, negotiators spent a frantic day trying to salvage talks after it was reported on late Wednesday that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was bowing to Trump's desires to dissolve a border deal. The following day, McConnell clarified he still supports pursuing border security linked to Ukraine funding, though he and other top Republicans weren't able to entirely assuage murmurs that a deal is on its deathbed. Democrats were quick to accuse Trump of trying to perpetuate a crisis at the border for political gain. The Democratic Senate Campaign Committee said Senate Republicans are, quote, tanking a border deal for political reasons, but the White House did not join the chorus. They felt it was imprudent to join the fray. Well, it is imprudent to join the fray because everyone's just going to point out what I did, which is you don't need a border deal to close the border. You got all the laws on the books you already need. The other thing here is that, again, if Joe Biden just caved here, if he just caved, he would get his Ukraine funding, which supposedly he wants. McConnell, for his part, there was suggestion that he had basically killed the deal himself because he sees there's not enough support in the House to actually pass the deal. But apparently on Thursday, he said he still supports a border security deal linked to Ukraine aid. So at a tail end of the Senate GOP's last meeting of the week, McConnell removed doubts. He said he is still forcefully pushing a deal that would pair new border and immigration restrictions with money for Ukraine. But that's not actually going to solve the problem because it still has to pass in the House. It's not going to happen today. We don't even know what this border compromise even looks like at this point. So before we can make a judgment as to whether Republicans should sign on to it in the House and Senate, we have to find out what it looks like. And the bottom line is this. Even if they sign on to the border compromise, Joe Biden is still responsible for what goes on the border because, again, he already has all the legal authority. All the legal authority. Okay, so on to the 2024 race itself. So the Republican side of the aisle has already decided it's over. But bad look for the RNC. The RNC yesterday declared that they were basically going to – there's a draft RNC resolution to declare him the presumptive – to declare Trump the presumptive nominee. That's so stupid. What is the point of that? Like, all of this kind of hubbub and melee over Nikki Haley remaining in the race is dumb. It's really dumb. Just ignore her if you're Trump. She's not going to win. The more attention you pay to her, the more the media is going to pay attention to her. And Nikki Haley is banging on Trump. Now, here's Nikki Haley yesterday mocking Donald Trump's gaffes, suggesting he's lost a step.
And then Donald Trump got out there and just threw a temper tantrum. He pitched a fit. He was insulting. He was doing what he does. But I know that's what he does when he's insecure. I know that's what he does when he is threatened. And he should feel threatened, without a doubt. You know, it's interesting because a few days ago, he was going on and on about me. I mean, for a while. On and on about why I didn't send in security to the Capitol on January 6th. He said it over and over and over and over again. I mean, somebody's got to tell him I wasn't there on January 6th. I've never been at the Capitol working in a job like that, but I think he was a bit confused, and so we'll let that pass.
Okay, so again, Donald Trump should just ignore Nikki Haley. I mean, the more he pays attention to Nikki Haley and the more the RNC tries to preemptively declare the race over, which casts attention to Nikki Haley, the worse it is for Donald Trump, which Trump, I think, knows, which is why he told the RNC to stick it. He was like, listen, I don't need you to pass a resolution here, guys. Like, I already know that I have this wrapped up. Don't need you to preemptively crown me king. Chip Roy, of course, who's right on most of these issues, Chip, Republican congressman from Texas, he says, like, it's so stupid that the RNC is attempting to do this. Just go and earn it. Like, if Trump is going to win the nomination anyway, why are we doing this?
Well, first, let me say that I think Nikki, with all due respect, he kind of represents that old guard of the Republican Party that I just was kind of lambasting, that's big spending and all defense and, you know, endless wars. I think we need to move a different direction. I think President Trump represented in 2016 a challenge to the establishment, a, you know, challenge to drain the swamp. But I don't think we should be coronating somebody. I went out and campaigned in Iowa. We don't coronate people. You know, we don't just choose somebody and, you know, you get anointed. Go through the process. Go earn it because it makes you sharper in the general election. So, you know, if he doesn't think that he has anything to worry about, then don't worry about it. Go campaign and go win. He should be able to win in South Carolina based on, I think, the electorate in South Carolina. So we should proceed with the electoral process. And if he's ultimately the nominee by votes, then he should be supported as the nominee for the Republican Party. But you got to go earn it. You don't just get coronated.
He's obviously right about all of that. Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The jury in a civil defamation trial ordering the former president to pay over $83 million. President Trump's maintained his innocence throughout the trial and will probably appeal the verdict. A video being shared on social media is being denounced by the woman's legal team. It involves an episode of Law and Order where a person describes a sexual scenario exactly like the one claimed by the woman in the case, down to the exact location. The episode aired before the alleged incident occurred. President Trump said he never met the woman who, in an interview with Anderson Cooper, said that she thought rape was sexy. The Biden administration is providing an update on the situation regarding the Israeli hostages abducted by terror group Hamas on October 7th. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. is pressing ahead in hopes of getting most hostages away from Hamas.
We're hopeful about the progress, but I do not expect, we should not expect, any imminent developments. And I certainly won't get into negotiating here from the podium or speculate about possible outcomes. Suffice it to say that at every level, from the president right on down, we're doing everything we can to bring these moms and dads, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters back home to their families.
Pro-energy Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia is vowing to investigate the president's decision to block new exports of liquid natural gas. Bob Agnew has more.
Senator Manchin says LNG exports play a vital role in the U.S. economy and for U.S. allies seeking alternatives to Russian natural gas. He also says the administration's halt on new export approvals appears to be motivated not by the facts but by politics. The administration confirms it will halt the export permit approvals while it investigates the impact of those exports on emissions and domestic energy prices. Bob Agnew reporting.
More at townhall.com.
In Retirement Outlook.
If your retirement account is mostly stocks or bonds, listen closely. The future of your savings may be more uncertain than ever before. Hi, I'm Paul Stone, CEO of Colonial Metals. The sad truth is our government continues to eat away at our freedoms and security. In economic times like these, run around the flagpole by lunatics in Washington, I look to the most trusted store of wealth in human history, physical gold and silver that you own. At Colonial Metals, we specialize in helping folks with IRAs and 401ks and other retirement accounts move their savings into physical gold and silver. If you'd like a free gold investment kit, give us a call today at 820-800-8000. My team is standing by, ready to rush a free gold investment kit to you. You may also qualify for $7,500 in free silver and a free safe. Call 820-800-8000 now. That's 820-800-8000.
Colonial Metals is not a financial advisor. Consult with your advisor before investing.
That's 820-800-8000.
Hawaii's governor wants some changes.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green used his annual State of the State address to propose aggressive steps to shift more vacation rentals into residential use to meet both Maui and the state's acute housing needs. Green is proposing exempting vacation rental owners from capital gains, conveyance, and general excise taxes if they sell their units to owner-occupants or long-term rental landlords. House Democratic leaders say they have common priorities with the governor, particularly on affordable housing and mental health care. John Scott reporting.
WWE founder Vince McMahon is resigning amid allegations of sex trafficking in a new lawsuit. A former WWE employee filed the lawsuit in a Connecticut court this week, claiming McMahon assaulted and trafficked her to other employees at WWE before paying her to keep quiet. McMahon announced he's resigning from his role as executive chairman of TKO. More at townhall.com. Stocks weakened to end the week on a mixed note.
Wall Street closed its latest winning week with a mixed finish as drops for technology stocks dragged on the market. The S&P 500 slipped 0.1% Friday. It's the first decline for the index after setting record highs for the five straight days that passed. The Dow rose 60 points. That's about 0.2%. The weakness for tech stocks dragged the NASDAQ composite down 0.4%. Intel helped undercut stocks of semiconductor companies following their latest forecasts for upcoming revenue. Treasury yields rose modestly after another report suggested that inflation is cooling even while the economy keeps powering higher. Seth Sutel, New York.
Officials say the 100 people confirmed dead from the Lahaina wildfire disaster have been identified. The Maui Police Department's been working with different agencies to go through the remains and provide official ID. They made the announcement Friday. It comes after a 70-year-old woman was identified. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi.
This is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So yesterday afternoon, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas issued a letter basically announcing that the state of Texas was going to start enforcing the border. They've been doing this for a while. They put a bunch of fencing in the middle of the Rio Grande, barriers in the middle of the Rio Grande to prevent people from crossing the border. The federal government has objected to that. They've used razor wire in state parks that are on the national border, and the federal government has objected to all of that. Well, yesterday, Greg Abbott, looking at the crisis that has been created by Joe Biden on the southern border, issued what is a rather historic letter. And we're going to go through it in its details, because what we are watching is now a constitutional crisis that is created entirely by Joe Biden and his evil activities on the border. And they are. It is an evil thing not to enforce the border of your country, to purposefully say that you're going to leave the border wide open, which is what Joe Biden has done. I've been down to the border. It is wide open. To facilitate that, to basically incentivize the drug cartels to pour millions of people into the United States, is a bad thing. It is Joe Biden abandoning his constitutional duties. It is Joe Biden abdicating the presidency of the United States. It is an evil for the president of the United States to do those things. It would be the equivalent of a mayor of a large city simply announcing that they are not going to police crime anymore. The fundamental duty of the federal government is to protect the people of the United States of America, and to protect the borders of the United States of America. That's why it is a federally mandated duty for the government of the United States to do that. That's why it's a federal issue and not a state issue. And Joe Biden has not only signally failed, he has done the opposite of good. He has facilitated all of this. In the estimates on the number of illegal immigrants who have entered the country, it ranges from a low. The low would be like 6 million people have entered the country illegally under Joe Biden. There are certain estimates that put that upwards of 10 million. And there's no real way to know because, of course, there are a bunch of people who ran across the border and got away, and those are unknown gotaways. They're known gotaways and unknown gotaways. But Joe Biden has facilitated all this with terrible border policy. It is wrong. It should be against the law. Again, the federal government has one job and one job only in the end, and that is to protect you, to protect your rights. There are already laws on the books that prevent illegal immigration. Those laws have been in place for decades in the United States. It is up to the president of the United States to enforce those laws. And again, it is worth noting here that leaving the border wide open is not just incentivizing the Mexican drug cartels to move millions of people across the southern border. It is incentivizing the Mexican drug cartels to move tons of fentanyl across the southern border, which is being used to kill effectively 100,000 Americans a year, depending on the numbers that you're using when it comes to drug overdose. Those drugs are pouring over the border. Again, this is all facilitated by Joe Biden's policy. This was not a problem during the latter years of the Trump administration. It just wasn't. And it is under Joe Biden. And it is a manufactured crisis. Because Joe Biden has decided, just legally speaking, that he was going to get rid of Remain in Mexico. He was going to suggest that if you arrive on America's southern border, throw up your hands and say, I am here because I fear to go to my home country, then we have to process you and release you into the interior of the United States within 72 hours. That is basically how Joe Biden's border policies work. And he has staffed 90% of Border Patrol on busing and administrative duty, leaving the rest of the border wide open for the Mexican drug cartels. He's turned Border Patrol into a ferry service for illegal immigration. You can ask members of Border Patrol. They will openly tell you that that is what they are now. It used to be that it was their job to track down people who were illegally crossing the border so that they could be detained and then deported. And now it is their job to basically act as a facilitation service for illegal entry into the country. Why is Joe Biden doing this? And there must be a rationale, because he is so committed to open borders that he is scuttling his own desire for Ukraine aid, for Israel aid, for Taiwan aid, in order to keep those borders open. Republicans have proposed fixes on the border that would, for example, most important fix, would be not only the reinforcement of Remain in Mexico, which is a Trump-era policy that Joe Biden refuses to enforce, which would simply say that if you're applying for asylum, you have to wait in Mexico while that asylum request is processed, which would mean that most of those people aren't getting in the country, as opposed to now they arrive, and then again, we detain them for 5 seconds and then release them, and they quote-unquote wait in the interior and then never show up again. It's not just that. Joe Biden's asylum policies, they need to be fixed. In order to claim asylum in the United States, you should have to show, the burden of proof is on you, to show that you actually require asylum. Right now, you don't even have to make a colorable argument that you require asylum. You just claim that you do, and then release you into the interior. H.R. 2, which is the Republican bill that would shore up all this, Joe Biden is rejecting all aspects of that, even if it means scuttling the aid that Ukraine actually needs in order to maintain its war against Russian invasion. Why would he be doing that? There are only a couple of possible reasons. One is obviously political, that Joe Biden and a lot of Democrats believe that many of the illegal immigrants who are crossing the border are going to eventually become Democratic voters. And for all the people who are saying, well, you know, they can't vote because they're illegal immigrants, you don't need the illegal immigrants to vote. All you need to do is for them to get married. You have a bunch of young single men who are crossing the border. All they have to do is marry an American citizen, and they are now sponsored for citizenship. They can now get their green card, which moves them towards citizenship. Plus, there is the bet that the Democrats are making that eventually somebody's going to amnesty all these folks, and they'll become American citizens, at which point they're going to vote for Democrats. And why would Democrats not think that, given the fact that many of the people who are crossing the border right now are chanting Joe Biden's name? I mean, there's video of it. Or maybe it's because Joe Biden is ideologically captured by his radical left flank, a radical left flank that believes that America is, in fact, a guilty country on the world stage and therefore has some sort of moral duty to open its borders wide to anybody who wants to come into the country. Whatever the reason, Joe Biden has abandoned his duty as president, and all of this is the predictable result. So the predictable result is that the state of Texas is looking at this and they're saying, we are getting smacked in the face by illegal immigration. We are being told that we have to basically swallow it when the federal government decides not to enforce the law. And this raises a bunch of really deep legal and constitutional issues. But we have to lead with the moral, because here is the reality. Joe Biden could solve this tomorrow by simply enforcing the border. And by the way, the American people should solve this by not reelecting Joe Biden. That would solve this too. We're going to get to more of this in just 1 second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on DailyWire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show, check it out. I'll be there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. So yesterday, Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, put out a statement. Here's what it said, quote, "The federal government has broken the compact between the United States and the states. The executive branch of the United States has a constitutional duty to enforce federal laws protecting states, including immigration laws on the books right now. President Biden has refused to enforce those laws, and he's even violated them. The result is that he has smashed records for illegal immigration. Despite having been put on notice in a series of letters, one of which I delivered to him by hand, President Biden has ignored Texas's demand that he perform his constitutional duties. President Biden, says Greg Abbott, has violated his oath to faithfully execute immigration laws enacted by Congress. Instead of prosecuting immigrants for the federal crime of illegal entry, President Biden has sent his lawyers into federal courts to sue Texas for taking action to secure the border. President Biden has instructed his agencies to ignore federal statutes that mandate the detention of illegal immigrants. The effect is to illegally allow their en masse parole into the United States." He's right about that. That's the so-called catch and release program. Instead of detaining people until they actually have their asylum hearing, instead, they have an initial hearing, and then they are released on their own recognizance into the interior of the United States. And again, it's no more than a week. I mean, the average right now is probably 72 hours, what I've been told by people at Border Patrol. Greg Abbott says, "By wasting taxpayer dollars to tear open Texas's border security infrastructure, President Biden has enticed illegal immigrants away from the 28 legal entry points along this state's southern border, bridges where nobody drowns, and into the dangerous waters of the Rio Grande." Which, of course, is true. One of the things drug cartels are doing right now is they don't actually want illegal immigrants processed at these stations. They want to flood certain border points with illegal immigrants so as to draw the Border Patrol to those areas where it is their duty to care for the illegal immigrants who are entering the country and claiming asylum. And then what does that do? Well, if you take all the people who are spaced along the border, and there aren't that many Border Patrol agents, you have them spaced along the border trying to maintain eyes on miles of the border, and then you centralize them at this point right here, which is where all the illegal immigrants are rushing across, not at a Border Patrol station. Well, what does that do? It leaves the rest of the border wide open. And that's when you get illegal immigrants who, have, in fact, are drug smugglers being shifted across the border by the drug cartels. Greg Abbott says, under President Biden's lawless border policies, more than 6 million illegal immigrants have crossed our southern border in just 3 years. This is more than the population of 33 different states in this country. The illegal refusal to protect the states has inflicted unprecedented harm on the people all across the United States. He continues, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, and the other visionaries who wrote the U.S. Constitution foresaw that states should not be left to the mercy of a lawless president who does nothing to stop external threats like cartels smuggling millions of illegal immigrants across the border. That is why the framers included both Article 4, Section 4, which promises the federal government shall protect each state against invasion, and Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which acknowledges the state's sovereign interest in protecting their borders. The failure of the Biden administration to fulfill the duties imposed by Article 4, Section 4 has triggered Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which reserves to the state the right of self-defense. For these reasons, I have already declared an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 to invoke Texas's constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. That authority is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary. The Texas National Guard, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and other Texas personnel are acting on that authority as well as state law to secure the Texas border. Okay, so one big question here is what does that mean? So let's start with the very legal basics here. Greg Abbott has done nothing to violate the law thus far. Nothing. He's not violated federal law. He's not violated state law. People who are accusing him of having done so thus far by having Texas state troopers put out razor wire in state parks, they don't know what they're talking about. The Supreme Court ruled recently that the federal government has the capacity to withdraw the razor wire, but they said nothing about whether the state of Texas is allowed to put up the razor wire. So the Supreme Court did not rule that it was illegal for the state of Texas to, for example, put barriers in the Rio Grande. They just ruled that the federal government is allowed to remove those barriers. They removed an injunction against the federal government right there. It didn't say what Texas was doing was illegal in any way. So anybody who's telling you different in the media today that Texas is doing something illegally, that is not true. Now, if Texas were to prevent the federal government from actually dismantling the razor wire, for example, then you start to get into some dicey legal issues. So let's get to exactly what Joe Biden is doing here that is facilitating all of this. So first of all, he's exploiting the law for his own agenda. Right? He's exploiting it. Now, he's following Barack Obama's example in doing this. He's been using executive action to stop prosecution of so-called dreamers, right? That's the same thing that Barack Obama did. A DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, that's been kicking around the legal system since, like, 2010. And some people have ruled it illegal and others have ruled it not illegal. In 2020, the Supreme Court ruled that the Trump administration couldn't even rescind DACA, at least not in the way they did it, which is a ridiculous ruling. So they said that Barack Obama could actually issue DACA, which effectively legalized millions of illegal immigrants. But Donald Trump couldn't reverse that policy by executive action. They said that he'd failed to go through the Administrative Procedures Act. It was a bunch of mumbo jumbo, but it was really, really silly. Okay, but it is certainly a very weird legal motion that the president just has the simple ability to not enforce the law. That's a very weird legal idea. In fact, in 1975, for example, there was a federal case in which the president of the United States refused to actually spend money that had been allocated by Congress for a particular purpose. And the Supreme Court found that he couldn't do that. That if the Congress said, you must spend X dollars, the president could not spend half of those dollars. He had to spend X dollars. So if the executive branch is charged with executing the laws, then why in the world would the executive branch have the power to not execute the laws? Now, they can claim that they need more resources, but that's not what Joe Biden is really claiming right now. He says he wants more resources in order to facilitate more illegal immigration, not in order to actually enforce America's southern border. He doesn't want more policing power on the southern border in any real way. That's why Republicans are objecting. More on this in just a second. During this Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 65 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion. Sadly, since Roe v. Wade was overturned, babies' lives are now at even greater risk. You see, it's reported that the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of all abortions, making this tragedy available 24/7. But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light that shines. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 unborn babies from abortion since their clinics opened. Every day, they rescue 200 unborn babies. Considering abortion hears her baby's heartbeat and sees her precious baby on ultrasound, her baby's chance of life is increased. Preborn needs our help. For just $28, the cost of a dinner, you can sponsor an ultrasound to introduce a mom to her baby for the first time. 100% of your donation will go towards saving babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 unborn babies. To donate, dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, let's get to the deeper legal issue here, which is whether Texas has the ability constitutionally to enforce immigration law. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
When it comes to dinner, you're looking for tasty, flavor, ample portions, choices, and great value in a cozy, clean, family-friendly environment. Guests tell us our home-style dinners deliver on all counts. Whether you choose chicken fried steak, house-made meatloaf, roasted turkey, or slow-cooked pot roast, you'll be full and satisfied in the best way possible. So make Black Bear Diner your January comfort dinner destination. Open daily at 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim and Lenny Matthews for our show Ask Elle right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. brought to you by KNS Staffing Solutions.
530-605-4517.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? Dirt.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has announced that the state of Texas is going to defend its border with Mexico. This raises some really fascinating legal questions. That brings us to a deeper issue, and it's sort of a little bit down the road from where we are right now, because we've not actually gotten there yet, but it's the one that's sort of in everybody's mind. And that is whether the state of Texas can unilaterally enforce immigration law, even if the federal government wants them not to. So the best comp here is from 2010. That year, the state of Arizona passed a law called SB 1070. You may remember this. The Arizona governor at the time was a woman named Jan Brewer. And that law contained four provisions, the Arizona law. The first provision was that it created a state law crime for being unlawfully present in the United States. So it was just a federal crime for the illegal immigrants to be in the United States. That would be prosecuted by the federal government, and then you'd be deported. It would be a state law crime, so Arizona could jail you for being unlawfully present in the United States. Second, it created a state law crime for working or seeking to work while you weren't authorized to do so. So it's a federal crime for people to use a false social security number, for example, to work illegally in the United States. This created a comparative state law crime based on that. Third, it required state and local officers to verify the citizenship or alien status of anyone who was lawfully arrested or detained. So that was an anti-sanctuary city policy. This is the Arizona SB 1070 law that ended up going to the Supreme Court. That's why we're talking about it. Okay, so that required that if you're a cop and you pull somebody over, you have to check whether they are legally here or not. And then fourth, the law authorized warrantless arrests of aliens believed to be removable from the United States. So you could just arrest people, and then presumably you would turn them over to the federal government. So the question on the table, so the Obama administration sued Arizona to stop them from putting this law in place, in the same way that currently the Biden administration is trying to stop Texas from enforcing border law. The question on the table was whether federal preemption prevented those laws from taking effect. So federal preemption is the doctrine that under the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, which says that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, so when a state law comes into conflict with a federal law, the state law loses. So let's say that the federal law says, for example, that it is criminal to commit some sort of crime. The state law cannot then exempt that sort of crime from prosecution by the federal government. You can't just null the federal law. And federal preemption actually is a little bit broader than that. It says that a federal law actually takes up a certain portion of the law. If it occupies that portion of the law, the state laws cannot come into conflict with it. So the court in the Arizona case found 5-3 that items 1, 2, and 4 were in violation of the Constitution. Those would be the state-created laws that enforce the federal Constitution. The court did find, for example, that you could get rid of sanctuary status in the state of Arizona, that you could force your state law enforcement officials to check immigration status and report to ICE. But the court found that the federal laws on immigration prevented state laws that created crimes based on federal status, which seems like a weird decision, like a really weird decision, because effectively speaking, what you are now saying is that the state cannot call the bluff of the federal government by enforcing laws that are already on the federal books. So if the federal government says it is criminal to cross the border and you should be deported, and then the state passes a law that says it is criminal to cross the border using the federal definition and you will be deported, or criminalized, or he'll go to state prison, that's somehow in conflict with the federal law. So Justice Scalia disagreed. And this is a dissent that's referred to in the letter from Greg Abbott. And here's what he stated in dissent. Today's opinion, approving virtually all of the Ninth Circuit's injunction against enforcement of the four challenged provisions of Arizona law, deprives states of what most would consider the defining characteristic of sovereignty, the power to exclude from the sovereign's territory people who have no right to be there. The naturalization power was given to Congress not to abrogate states' power to exclude those they did not want, but to vindicate it. So in other words, what he is saying is that originally the reason immigration law was given to the federal government is because everybody at the beginning of the Republic was very much afraid of what's happened in the EU, where, say, Italy has open immigration policies and you're Hungary, and you say, I don't want all these immigrants coming to my country. But the EU says, no, you must. If one of these countries is wide open, then you have to be wide open. So the federal government took control of this so as to make homogenous immigration law around the United States so there'd be freedom of travel and freedom of residency inside the United States. But in order for that bargain to be upheld, the federal government actually does have to police the border. And that's particularly true when you have laws on the books saying that the border must be policed. It's one thing if the federal government has passed laws saying we have basically open immigration at this time, because presumably those federal laws are part of a constitution that was signed onto by the states. It's another thing for the federal government to have laws on the books saying you must police the border and remove illegal immigrants, and the federal government, the executive branch, just says, no, we're not going to do it. Because now you've abrogated the compact. I mean, Scalia said, in that case, in the dissent, he said the reason the entire issue was federalized was to prevent open migration to one state from affecting all the states. And that's basically what Greg Abbott is arguing in this letter. And he's right. Now, that doesn't mean that the Supreme Court is going to vindicate him, because after all, the Supreme Court voted the other way in that Arizona case. We have no idea what the Supreme Court will do here because the constituency of the Supreme Court has changed since 2010. Now, that's argument number one, is that basically the federal government has abrogated its constitutional duty and they must be forced to actually enforce the law. But then he makes a kind of unique constitutional argument. And this one gets into, just on a legal side, some fascinating and controversial territory, let's put it that way. Alrighty, coming up, We get to the really unique and sort of fascinating constitutional argument made by Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Original Butcher. Original Butcher.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has said that he is going to enforce the border if Joe Biden will not. This raises some interesting constitutional issues. So Abbott actually makes kind of a unique constitutional argument here. Here's what he says. He says that under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, the state can invoke its constitutional authority to defend its citizens from invasion. Now, that could be, as I say, kind of a difficult, controversial legal argument. Here's the actual text of Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3. Quote, no state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in times of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. So what was that meant to do? What does an invasion mean in that context? Presumably it meant like the British show up in Massachusetts with their gunboats, and the Massachusetts militia has no time to respond. They have to get together and they have to do something. Right, so because what that's doing, it's saying the foreign policy of the United States is a federal question. It is not a state question, unless it's basically an exigent circumstance. Right, it's an urgent, dangerous circumstance in which you have like an actual foreign body that is encroaching over the border, for example, and attacking Texas. So, for example, the Mexican cartels just decide one day that they're going to walk over the border with AK-47s. Can Texas defend itself? Of course. Texas does not have to call the federal government, at least not until afterward. And they can shoot the Mexican drug cartel members who constitute an invading army. Okay, but what actually Abbott is doing is he is claiming that the massive illegal migration wave doesn't constitute an invasion in sort of a colloquial sense, right? The way that you and I say invasion, like meaning like a vast wave of people being facilitated in entry. He's actually trying to cite the law under the Constitution of invasion in order to apply to illegal migration. Which is, again, I think legally dicey. I think the Supreme Court's going to have a tough time with that argument, for example. So Texas, for example, I think has a pretty good argument that they can just shoot down Mexican cartel drones. If the Mexican cartels have drones over the border, for example, that is a military incursion into the United States. Texas should not have to call up the chain to shoot down the drones. However, can they just start capturing illegal immigrants and treating them as POWs as you would during an invasion, right? I mean, if a Mexican army crossed the border and Texas had to defend itself, it would shoot people and take them POWs. So is that really the situation here? Very difficult to say that that's the situation here. So he's not, let's be real about this. It's not being treated as an invasion. If it were being treated as an invasion, then presumably a lot of people are getting shot on the border, which is not exactly what's happening. So again, the better argument here that Abbott is making is effectively that the federal government has abrogated its duty to protect the border. And they should be forced by law to do that. And if they won't do it, then we're going to do it. The argument that he gets to invoke invasion power in order to sort of defend the state against invasion, I think that's a little bit more legally dicey. But here, again, as I say, this entire thing could be solved tomorrow by Joe Biden enforcing the border. That's all. And this stuff becomes absolutely inevitable. It becomes absolutely inevitable. If you do not protect the people of this country because you have made a political decision not to enforce the law, people are going to get mad. And they're going to try to find ways to actually enforce the law and protect themselves. You can't leave people unprotected. What we are seeing on the southern border, writ large, is what you are seeing in the New York subway system, writ small. Which is, if you remove the cops from the subway system, and then you have criminals who are attacking people, you are going to have people like Daniel Penny who defend the people in the subway car from crazy people who are attacking them. And if you leave the border wide open, you are going to start having state authorities say, guys, if you're going to leave, we have to defend our citizens. They are our citizens, too. They are not just federal citizens. They are state citizens. It's our job to protect them. The way this gets solved is by Joe Biden actually enforcing the border. Okay, so there are a couple of sort of historic precedents for what happens when you have a state-federal standoff. Right? And we're not in that position quite yet. Because, again, the state of Texas is not telling, for example, the federal government they can't cut the razor wire. Greg Abbott has not prevented the entry of CBP onto state lands to cut the razor wire. They're just erecting new razor wire, which is totally legal. The federal government has not deployed troops to open the southern border. And the state government has deployed the Texas Rangers to shoot at them or something. Okay, but how do these sorts of standoffs historically get solved? Because we've had standoffs, state versus the federal government, much more severe than this in the past. So basically, there are two paths. One is the federal government just overruns the states, which historically has happened a couple of times. It happened, obviously, during the Civil War, and then it also happened during the Civil Rights Movement, both to good effect, by the way. Right? The Civil War was basically the states arguing that the federal government did not have the power to enforce laws within their states regarding, for example, the Fugitive Slave Act or revision of the Fugitive Slave Act. They were afraid that, basically the federal government was going to start freeing slaves in the South. And they said that violates the state compact. It violates the state theory. And the federal government said, no, 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 we have the power to do that because you're violating the basic rights of human beings. And so we have to preserve the Union. And that's the fight of the Civil War. And the federal government wins that fight, obviously, which is a good thing. And then during the Civil Rights Movement, you had the same sort of thing. Right? In the aftermath of the passage of Brown versus Board by the Supreme Court, you had integration of Southern universities, for example. And people forget just how violent and standoffish it got. The most famous example is in 1962 at the University of Mississippi, which is known also as Ole Miss, that there's a black student named James Meredith, who is the first black student who's admitted to Ole Miss. And the governor of the state of Mississippi tried to obstruct Meredith from attending. And the federal government under JFK actually had to activate first the National Guard, and then they eventually had to activate 31,000 troops to make sure that the campus stayed open. The federal government refused to compromise, as they should have, because, again, James Meredith had a federal civil right to go to the university. Okay, now, again, that is the federal government attempting to enforce law, not the federal government attempting to ignore law. So that's a bit of a different thing. Okay, the only other example that we have that has ended a different way is the so-called nullification crisis of 1828. So in 1828, the federal government passes a tariff. It's a tariff that is designed against foreign goods that are manufactured, because the idea was you're going to protect the infant industries of the North, these new manufacturing firms, and so you're going to pass a tariff that basically jacks up the cost of foreign goods that are manufactured to make room for manufacturing in the North. And the Southern states are like, this is crap. We didn't sign on to the Constitution to be barred from importing manufactured goods, and then to have foreign countries retaliate against non-manufactured goods from the United States, which were typically Southern products. So the tariffs disproportionately hit the South and disproportionately benefited the North. So Vice President John C. Calhoun, who was a vicious racist and would later make very similar arguments with regard to slavery, but here he made an interesting constitutional argument. So he argued that the states had what he called the right of nullification. What this meant is that if the state decided that the federal law had gone beyond the remit of the Constitution, states could simply say no and refuse to enforce it. And not only refuse to enforce it, could resist it. Now, that actually was not such an unusual position in 1828. That position had been taken, for example, by Thomas Jefferson, who wrote in a series of missives that became resolutions that were passed by states like Kentucky and Virginia in the late 18th century. He wrote regarding the Alien and Sedition Acts, quote, where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, a nullification of the act is the rightful remedy, that every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact, casus non foederis, to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of power by others within their limits. And without this right, they would be under the dominion absolute and unlimited of whosoever might exercise this right of judgment for them. So in other words, if the federal government decided that tomorrow it was going to just violate the constitutional pact and burst its boundaries, that states could have a right to resist that. James Madison actually made a similar suggestion at the time. He's the father of the Constitution. He said, quote, the Constitution of the United States was formed by the sanction of the states, given by each in its sovereign capacity. It adds to the stability and dignity, as well as to the authority of the Constitution, that it rests on this solid foundation. The states, then, being parties to the constitutional compact and in their sovereign capacity, it follows of necessity there can be no tribunal above their authority to decide in the last resort whether the compact made by them be violated. And consequently, as parties to it, they must themselves decide in the last resort such questions as may be of sufficient magnitude to require their interposition. That's a fancy way of saying that states should be able to interpret whether the federal constitution is being violated and the federal government is breaking its bonds with the states, and states can then resist. Now, you can see how this exact logic was then used by the South with regard to slavery. The South made the argument, a la Dred Scott, that the Constitution did not mandate the end of slavery or give the federal government the power to abolish slavery or to curb slavery, and that, therefore, they had the right to resist that. Now, Abraham Lincoln made the argument that that was a wild misinterpretation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. So that was basically the argument. And that, again, that this argument has early shades in this tariff fight. So Calhoun, who's the vice president under Andrew Jackson at this time, he ends up actually resigning the vice presidency in order to become a senator. Meanwhile, James Madison by this point, had actually reversed his position. He said that to establish a positive and permanent rule, giving such a power to such a minority over such a majority, would overturn the first principle of free government, and in practice necessarily overturn the government itself. So you can see Madison sort of arguing against himself there, right? The earlier Madison is saying, well, if the states can't nullify federal law, what stops the federal government from overrunning its boundaries? And later Madison is saying, yes, but if a state can nullify federal law, what's the purpose of the federal government? And so Andrew Jackson, at this point, is the president. He's a Southerner. He took the same position as Madison, which shocked everybody because he was of the South. So people thought he was going to take the Calhoun position. At an event honoring his own birthday, Jackson raised a toast to our federal union, saying, quote, it must be preserved. This is kind of shocking to everybody at the time. And then in December of 1832, he made his position even clearer with a very famous piece of writing called the Nullification Proclamation, where he said, quote, I consider then the power to annul a law of the United States assumed by one state incompatible with the existence of the Union, contradicted expressly by the letter of the Constitution, unauthorized by its spirit, inconsistent with every principle on which it was founded, destructive of the great object for which it was formed. This union by armed force is treason. Okay, now, it is worthwhile to pause here and take stock for a second, because there is a contrast between what Jackson is saying about the enforcement of law here versus the border. So Jackson was saying that because he was president, he had to enforce what the legislature said, which means the state had to listen to him. He was not arguing that he could ignore federal law at the expense of the states, that if a federal law was passed and the White House just decided to ignore that federal law, that the states would then have to listen to it. In any case, things started to really heat up. In 1833, the governor of South Carolina actually began organizing armed resistance, and then Congress passed something called the Force Bill, which allowed the feds to send armed troops to enforce tariff collections. So you actually ended up with an almost pre-Civil War, Civil War almost. In the end, what ended up happening is that the feds and the state both backed down, an agreement was reached, which ended up being a compromise tariff. So basically, the states used their power to leverage federal change. So those are the two examples of what happens when states and the feds sort of face off. One is the feds just overrun the states, and the other is they come to some sort of agreement. In this particular case, it is Joe Biden who's refusing to enforce the law. He's refusing to enforce the law. It is that simple. This is a political crisis created by Joe Biden. It should not be a legal crisis. It should not be a constitutional crisis. Enforce the law. Enforce the law. Protect American citizens. These laws are already on the books. This sort of stuff is going to become more and more common, more and more inevitable, when the White House refuses to protect its own citizens for political purposes. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Already coming up, all of this is going to play into 2024, Joe Biden's terrible policy versus Donald Trump trying to just say wild things, which, again, more voters, guys. We need more voters on the Republican side of the aisle. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens.
Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Biden, he's running a bad campaign. He's a bad president. Obviously, all of this is going to play into the 2024 election. Joe Biden's border policies are a disaster for him. They're a top issue for a lot of Americans. And it is amazing to me that Joe Biden thinks that Trump is so weak that he can just continue to run on all of these bad policies. He's banking on the economy somehow recovering enough for people not to feel so terrible about it. And there's an economic report that just came out in the last couple of hours suggesting that wages are now outpacing inflation, which would be a very good thing for the United States, but it doesn't mean that the inflation has been baked into the cake over the last several years hasn't had a massive impact on your prices at the grocery store. So if your wages are only now starting to outpace inflation, you still lost money over the course of the last several years under Joe Biden. But he's hoping the economy is going to recover to a certain extent. He's also hoping that all of his foreign policy snafus are going to somehow iron themselves out, which is not going to happen. Plus, Joe Biden happens to, again, be not particularly with it. He is a very weak candidate. Joe Biden yesterday was endorsed by the UAW, which of course is not a great shock because the greatest scam in American life is the combined power of the UAW and Joe Biden. Union power and the Democrats are the single most corrupt scheme in American politics. They have been for a long time. It's particularly true of public sector unions. UAW, of course, is not a public sector union. It's a private sector union, but they've helped bankrupt America's car companies multiple times at this point. Of course, they're endorsing Joe Biden, who's basically suggested that the labor theory of value ought to be mandated by law. Here is the head of the UAW endorsing Joe Biden yesterday.
I would put it this simple. The majority of our members voted for President Biden.
And do you think the endorsement is a big reason for that? Without the endorsement, might they have more of them gone to Trump, given the demographics and such?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, even going forward, when you look at both candidates, it's very clear which one supports working class people and which one doesn't. And by two simple sentences, Joe Biden bet on the American worker and Donald Trump blamed the American worker.
How exactly has Joe Biden helped the American worker? I mean, Joe Biden has made everything more expensive for the American worker. And again, this sort of attempt to suggest that unions are the reason for American prosperity is completely ahistorical. The economic data to back that up are extremely scanty. In any case, the UAW endorses Biden. Biden is basically figuring, if I get the base on board, I can be as bad as I want to be as a president. I mean, he's still campaigning on Bidenomics. So yesterday he was out there campaigning. He said he's fundamentally changing the economy of this country. Yeah, we noticed. It's not great.
We're fundamentally changing the economy of this country, and everybody's getting a little worried about it.
Well, I mean, yes, everybody's getting a little worried about it, because it turns out that the greatness of America is that America is the world's first commercial republic, and that's why we kick ass. I mean, literally visit a foreign country, and you realize that America is the country of business for a reason. America is awesome. Our free market economy is the envy of the world, and it should be. It is the driver of virtually all global growth. Like, this is an amazing place. You fundamentally changing it is not a good thing. I will say Joe Biden did make a rather large boo-boo the other day. He thought he was saying something, I think, jokingly, and he actually ends up undercutting many of the arguments he himself has made. He says that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy because he's denying elections. And then he went to Virginia and suggested that Terry McAuliffe was the real governor of Virginia, which is weird since literally no one believes that Terry McAuliffe didn't lose to Glenn Youngkin.
Hello, Virginia. And the real governor, Terry McAuliffe.
The real governor, Terry McAuliffe? He's not the real governor. He lost. So election denialism is fine if you're a Democrat. Hey, Joe Biden, again, he also has troubles with his base. This may be one of the reasons he's so radical on immigration. He's trying to buy back the fact that members of his far-left base really kind of like Hamas. So yesterday, Joe Biden was speaking, and he was protested by Hamas next.
Look, please don't jump.
Not again. Please don't jump. I don't know why he always says that. It's weird.
Folks, the extreme laws passed by Dobbs have no place in the United States of America.
And then he was jabbering about abortion. But you hear the protesters there. And the Biden administration cannot dissociate itself from these wild left-wing protesters. Here is John Kirby, the actual presidential spokesperson, because Karine Jean-Pierre is awful at her job, saying that everyone has feelings, which is an exciting piece of news.
But we're also seeing increased polling among the American public that is clamoring for a ceasefire. Is the president, is his perspective on this changing at all, given the daily mounting casualty toll? Is he starting to rethink whether it might be prudent to ask for a halt in the fighting and beyond just the pause?
I would remind that since a very early going in this conflict, we have been urging our Israeli counterparts to be careful and precise. We have talked about the civilian casualties and how we don't want to see any more. We have urged them to take different actions, and they have responded to that advice and counsel. He understands that there are strong feelings here on all sides, as you would expect.
The strong feelings. Again, how about this? How about dump your wild left-wingers and campaign toward the middle? But Joe Biden, again, refuses to do that, which is one of the reasons why he has a problem on his hands. Now, he thinks that problem is solvable by Donald Trump. That if Donald Trump is Donald Trump, then Donald Trump will lose the election. He's not banking on winning the election anymore. He's banking on Donald Trump losing the election. And what he's really banking on is Donald Trump being extremely polarizing, particularly with women and independent voters. And there's some evidence for this. So New Hampshire, right, where Nikki Haley performed decently, right? I mean, she performed strong against an incumbent president, which is effectively how Republicans are treating Donald Trump. But she performed strong with independents and Democrats. When you look at the New Hampshire primary results, as we observed yesterday, those primary results are largely the effect of independents and Democrats swiveling heavy for Nikki Haley and showing up, and Republicans voting heavily for Donald Trump. Okay, well, if that gap emerges in the general election, that's a real problem for Donald Trump, right? He needs to win independents and he needs to win Democrats. He does need to do that in order to defeat Joe Biden. And in order for that to happen, Donald Trump needs to just point at Joe Biden. That's all he has to do. He and Biden are playing a game of hold my beer. It really is amazing. All Donald Trump has to do is go like this. See that guy? He's terrible. He's a bad president. That's it. And meanwhile, Joe Biden actually is a bad president. And so he's saying dumb stuff and doing dumb stuff. But meanwhile, all Joe Biden thinks he has to do is point at Donald Trump and go, who's he going to go? So that's what this election is probably going to be. And then the question is, which candidate is more likely to avoid jumping on the rake? So for Biden, what that means is get out there less, look a little bit less senile, look a little bit less crazy, stop being quite so radical, moderate if you're going to run for this election cycle successfully. And if you're Donald Trump, what that means is stop acting so crazy. Like, stop acting so crazy. Like, if you act crazy, you're going to alienate all of these people with your personality who are attracted by your policies. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Texas is denying the Biden administration's order to allow federal agents back into a park along the state's border with Mexico. Shelby Park in Eagle Pass is currently surrounded by razor wire and fencing. Friday evening, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton released a statement saying, quote, by February 15th, DHS must supply the official plat maps and deeds demonstrating the precise parcels to which they claim ownership, an explanation of how Texas is preventing access to those specific parcels, documentation showing that Eagle Pass or Texas ever granted permission for DHS to erect infrastructure that interferes with border security, and proof of Congress empowering DHS to turn a Texas park into an unofficial and illegal port of entry. If the federal government is going to make such claims, it must provide proof, end quote. The Biden administration then retaliated, targeting the Texas economy, saying it would temporarily pause decisions on new liquefied natural gas, or LNG, exports. In a social media post, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said the reckless decision is a gut punch to the hardworking men and women in the energy industry. Texas Railroad Commission Chair Christy Craddock said, quote, the Biden administration is scaling up its assault on America's energy industry to the profit and benefit of countries who are not our allies. This is a major mistake, end quote. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says efforts are being made to free more Hamas hostages.
President Biden spoke with Qatari Emir Sheikh Al Thani and Egyptian President al-Sisi. As a matter of fact, that second call of President al-Sisi just wrapped up here a little bit ago to discuss the latest developments in Israel and in Gaza, including our efforts to secure the release of all the hostages taken by Hamas.
Anti-Israel pro-Hamas protesters showed up at Senator John Fetterman's house in Pennsylvania tonight. He responded by waving an Israeli flag at them from the roof. More at townhall.com.
The pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, now available on the Salem Podcast Network.
For the left, it's generally you open a door, and then if you notice that no one is pushing back to shut the door, you go right through it, and then you kick in the next door. If we offer no resistance, our past will basically be nothing more than a series of leftist incidents designed to overcome our past.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Rumble, or at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
GOP Senator Steve Daines of Montana is warning that Democrats will eliminate the filibuster if Republicans fail to win back the majority in this year's election. Bob Agnew reports.
Daines told a gathering of conservatives in Washington this week, Democrats will succeed in eliminating the filibuster if they hang on to power. They tried in 2022, but were stymied by moderate Democrats Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, who voted with Republicans to keep the 60-vote threshold alive. Noting that neither moderate will likely be in the Senate next year, Daines says majority Democrats would likely move to make Washington, D.C. a state and try to give Democrats a permanent advantage in federal elections. Bob Agner reporting.
U.S. Navy is starting to enlist individuals who didn't graduate from high school or get a GED, marking the second time in about a year that the service has opened the door to lower performing recruits as it struggles to meet enlistment goals. News and analysis at townhall.com. No recall.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration got hundreds of complaints that the doors on some Ford Escapes can open while the vehicles are being driven. These are Escape SUVs from model years 2020 and 2021. The regulators say their investigation found that the possible danger to drivers is low, and they say Ford is sending letters to owners about this problem. That'll be in March. Owners can take their vehicle to a dealer to have it checked. Depending upon what the vehicle needs, the dealer will install a plate to reinforce the door latch arms, or they'll provide a replacement door. Regulators have now closed their investigation. There were three reports of injuries. One required medical attention. I'm Rita Foley.
For the second time, Brian Koberger is trying to get his charges thrown out. He's charged in the stabbing deaths of four University of Idaho students in 2022. More on these stories at townhall.com.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, DEI is on its deathbed, and now Democrats are holding actual funerals for it. I'll explain. Also, the corrupt DA prosecuting Trump in Georgia finds herself embroiled in yet another scandal. Liberals panic as Florida proposes changes to its child labor laws. Apparently, the left thinks that kids are old enough for sex changes, but not old enough to work at cash register at Burger King. And a psychology professor writes a lengthy article condemning the moral panic, quote unquote, over pornography. I will take his argument apart piece by piece. All of that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. Some of the few truly entertaining moments you'll find in politics are the times when activists who are extremely ideological, the total fanatics, suddenly have to confront the reality that they are losing. You'll remember that when Donald Trump, of course, won in 2016. We saw a lot of that sort of thing. Maybe we'll get a rehash. We'll do it again in 2024. HBO captured footage of Ben Rhodes, the Obama advisor, sitting shell-shocked on a bench for several minutes when he realized that Hillary Clinton wasn't going to be president. Of course, there's the infamous, the now iconic woman screaming and howling as Trump was inaugurated, became an instant classic. These kinds of moments are great because if you are a sane person, it's a win-win. Your enemies aren't just being defeated. They're also providing some unintended humor along the way. Well, yesterday in the state of Utah, we were treated to another one of these moments. The state Senate overwhelmingly passed a bill that will dismantle all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the government as well as in the public education system. As the Salt Lake Tribune reports, quote, the wide sweeping proposal requires that diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, offices at the state's eight public colleges and universities specifically be reframed. They can no longer be race or gender based, but instead must cater to all students as generalized student success and support centers. The bill additionally bans schools and government employers from asking job applicants for a statement about their beliefs on diversity or inclusion. And schools and employers could lose state funding for violating that. And all entities will be required to eliminate any training on discriminatory practices while replacing that with instruction on free speech from all viewpoints. So this is by far the most sweeping anti-DEI bill that's ever been proposed in this country. And just for good measure, the Utah Senate also passed a separate bill banning men from entering women's restrooms. The governor has indicated that he's going to sign both of those bills. So in all likelihood, very soon they'll become law. Now, for DEI race hustlers, this is their Ben Rhodes crazy lady screeching at the inauguration moment. This doesn't just mark the rollback of their ideology in Utah. It's also virtually certain to inspire similar bills all over the country and create a kind of domino effect. Already states like Oklahoma, Florida, Texas have taken their own steps to end DEI, and now the process looks like it's going to accelerate. And here's the fun part. Democrats in Utah, as you might imagine, did not take this news very well. So they did what any mentally unbalanced crazy person would do in this circumstance. They all dressed in black and solemnly held a funeral for DEI because, in their words, they are hurting. Now, there was no casket, as far as I could tell, but they did have a eulogy and a strict dress code for the occasion. Watch.
And that's because we are hurting and we join our communities, the most marginalized communities, the vulnerable communities, through this process. as we just came out of the Senate floor that passed HB 267 and HB 261, and there may be really fast to get to the governor's desk. I do want to thank everyone, thank my colleagues, the 20th Senate and House Democrats, to stand together as a group and making sure that people know we're here and we will keep on fighting for good public policy and to stop any attacks on our communities.
There it is. They all wore black, color coordinated, in mourning. You just imagine the process of arranging something like this. Like, did they all get on a conference call and say, hey, everyone, looks like that bill that bans racial discrimination is going to pass, so we're going to hold a funeral for DEI. Be sure to wear all black. And then no one thought that that was remotely unusual or weird in any way. Like, all of them apparently thought that by color coordinating, they lend some gravity and seriousness to the situation. But, of course, they did the opposite. There's not a single living creature who saw this press conference in Utah and felt anything other than amusement and secondhand embarrassment for everybody involved. Actually, the more you watch this DEI funeral, the more humiliating it gets. Now, you may have noticed that the Democrats didn't simply coordinate their clothing. They also coordinated their positions at the press conference. All the white guys are conspicuously located in the back. You can barely see them. The women are up front. Now, the Utah Democrats didn't specifically call attention to that staging like they did with the clothing, but it's not hard to figure out the message. They're once again highlighting the fact that DEI means that white guys go to the back of the bus. Even the white guys who are on board with DEI are subjected to this humiliation because they're inferior, I guess, solely by the virtue of their skin color. This is a fundamental principle of DEI, and they will continue to embrace it, even as the DEI scam collapses all around them, which is what is happening right now. Now, at the same time, there was one candid, slightly less choreographed moment from the Utah Capitol the other day. The Salt Lake Tribune captured this image of trans activists storming the Capitol, presumably because they're upset about the other bill, the one that keeps men out of women's restrooms. And you can see it's a shot of two very angry, at least in one case, heavyset individual, one of them wearing a mask for some reason, a couple masks there, and holding signs that say, "Trans joy is power." But if you look closely at their faces, in fact, you don't have to look that close at all, you can't help but notice that trans joy looks a lot like blind homicidal rage. I mean, this picture actually deserves to be a new iconic woman screeching at the inauguration moment right there. Trans joy, and then you just see them full, like just spittle-flecked rage. That's what trans joy is. And this is always the case with trans joy. You know, we hear a lot about it. We hear a lot. They're always telling us about joy. We have so much joy. But nobody has ever seen anything resembling joy from any trans activist. Have you? I've never seen it. So this photo went viral for obvious reasons. For one thing, it's like a Babylon Bee photo, except in real life. But the photo also does a great job of capturing the anger and bitterness of deranged activists who know they're losing. You know, they don't have time for debates or logic or anything like that. All they can do is rage. And they know it. We're seeing a similar phenomenon play out in the journalism industry, or what's left of it anyway. Faced with a very public and overwhelming rejection of everything they stand for, journalists are not pondering their failures. You know, they aren't wondering why everyone hates them. Instead, they're wallowing in self-pity and frustration, just like the trans activists. This week, for example, as we talked about yesterday, the Los Angeles Times laid off more than 20% of its newsroom. And this is the paper that, in just the past couple of years, has run headlines like these, quote, "Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy. You've been warned." And quote, "White drivers are polluting the air breathed by LA's people of color." That's a real headline. And quote, "Mocking anti-vaxxers' COVID deaths is ghoulish, yes, but maybe necessary." And remember, they get mad if we mock them for losing their jobs. These are the people who actually said that it's a moral necessity to mock people who die. And yet we're supposed to be sad they lost their jobs. So we're not talking about principled journalists who are holding the powerful to account. These are ghoulish, sociopathic activists who want to cause a race war and dance on the graves of their political enemies. And you could say, well, not everybody in the newsroom may have agreed with those headlines. But the fact is that none of them condemned any of that. None of them spoke out or reconsidered the wisdom of working for an organization that would publish garbage like that. And we all know why that is. The staff of the LA Times was openly racist and overtly hostile to anyone they disagreed with. That showed in their journalism, quote unquote, and most of the public found it to be completely repulsive. So the paper started losing something like $40 million a year, and now the newsroom has been gutted as a result. But in the wake of these cuts, there has not been a single LA Times employee, current or former, who has said anything like, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't have wished for the death of our enemies. Maybe we did a couple things wrong here. Not a single one, as far as I can tell. No, none of them have said that it was a bad idea to publish an article accusing white people of poisoning people of color in Los Angeles by driving their cars. In fact, the opposite has been happening. LA Times employees have been defending their coverage. One LA Times reporter, Sarah DeWire, insisted the other day that the article about white drivers polluting the air was great journalism. Quote, ah, yes, how dare we inform people about a USC study that found pollution in Los Angeles disproportionately impacts the communities that highways run through, she wrote, in response to someone criticizing the headline. So she still doesn't get it, or she's pretending she doesn't. Like she's not even trying to understand. Even now, after everyone has pointed out to her that white drivers aren't the only ones driving on Los Angeles' highways, Sarah DeWire at the Los Angeles Times doesn't see the problem with the headline. And keep in mind, this is one of the few people who was not fired this week at the LA Times. So this is like the cream of the crop, I guess, supposedly. That's how committed this organization is to fomenting race hatred by lying to the public. And just to be sure I wasn't missing anything, I spent some time looking through the Twitter feeds of current and former LA Times employees, and I wanted to see if any of them were showing any introspection whatsoever. I wanted to see, for example, if any LA Times reporter expressed regret for predicting that Twitter would implode a year ago, because you have to admit it's pretty ironic that the LA Times imploded and Twitter is still around. But, you know, I didn't find anything like that. Instead, the more I looked, the worse it got. As Chris Ruffoe noted, the post-layoff statement from the LA Times' various diversity caucuses didn't even attempt to defend their work on the basis of quality or merit or profitability. Instead, they all invoked various racial grievances. Quote, the announcement today has devastating implications for Black, Latino, AAPI, and other journalists of color. If these layoffs are allowed to go through, the Latino caucus will lose 38% of its members. The Black caucus will lose 36% of its members. The AAPI and Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia caucuses will lose 30% of their combined membership. Also, presumably, there's a lot of white people that got fired, too, but, you know, who cares? They don't matter. So, you know, it's racial bean counting all the way down to the very end. And nobody at the LA Times seems to realize how normal people are perceiving all this. Yesterday, the LA Times' Noah Goldberg tweeted out this photo of an empty LA Times newsroom, apparently to garner sympathy. You know, he wanted us to look at this and see how empty it is and be filled with mourning and grief. But I mean, nobody reacted with sympathy to that photo. Tim Pool had maybe the best response, which was, quote, this is like taking a picture of a kitchen and lamenting there are no roaches running around, which I think kind of sums it up nicely. And then after the post was completely dogpiled by thousands of people, Goldberg tweeted, well, I've gone viral, apparently, among people who think the LA Times is staffed by journalists who advocate for white genocide and are propagandists. They all believe that the layoffs were good. Yeah, you think so? You just noticed that? You just noticed that that is how your publication is perceived rightly by the public? Well, I guess what he just said, you know, that does constitute some accurate reporting from the LA Times, at least. But nobody was allowed to celebrate it. Goldberg very quickly locked the replies to that tweet. This is what journalists have to do. They're hiding from the customers they're supposedly serving. And yet somehow they're still in denial about why everyone has so much disdain for them. Even after so many publications have been conducting layoffs this year, including Sports Illustrated, LA Times, Time, Business Insider, Forbes, Condé Nast, the New York Daily News, these hacks are still convinced that they're irreplaceable. The remaining workers are even going on strike in many cases, as if that's magically going to generate the money that these businesses need in order to pay them. But it didn't work for the LA Times, and it's not going to work for the New York Daily News or Forbes either. That's because, in the end, reality is non-negotiable. That's true for every industry, whether it's DEI or journalism. You know, reality is still there. We're all living in it, whether we want to or not. You can only sustain a fantasy for so long. And as journalists and DEI bureaucrats are discovering, sooner or later, whether you hold a funeral for it or not, the fantasy has to end. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Pete after betrayal.
Life can be so unpredictable. After losing my dad, it made me think about my family if something were to happen to me. I had heard about life insurance through Ethos and how easy it was to get coverage. They were right. In 10 minutes, I was covered. And boom, family protected.
Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
One safe place. Children's Legacy Center and Tri-Counties Bank present the second annual crab-themed after party. February 3rd at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Doors open at 7:30, featuring the Lance Michael Cornwell Band with opening act California Grown Band. Proceeds from this party help provide shelter and care to local survivors of abuse. Tickets available at ospshasta.org. The after party, February 3rd, Shasta District Fairgrounds, 7:30 doors, 21 and up. Brought to you in part by Umpqua Bank. Action News now and this station.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. So you're not going to understand why I'm telling you about this story, but I'll explain. It will explain, so bear with me. This is from Fox News. The Atlanta Falcons made a hard turn with their coaching search. The Falcons, despite interviewing Bill Belichick twice, hired Los Angeles Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris to fill their head coaching vacancy. The Falcons made the deal official later Thursday. Arthur Blank, the owner, said this is a historic day for the Atlanta Falcons. We're thrilled to welcome Raheem Morris back to Atlanta, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you may be wondering why I'm wasting your time with NFL coaching news, aside from the fact that we are going to the conference championships. The Ravens are my team on Sunday. I'm pretty excited about it. Cannot share my excitement with anybody outside of my own household. Nobody here cares about football. This is a Titans town. None of you people care, you know. So I have nobody I can talk to about it with. So and anyway, you should feel a little sorry for me about that. That's not the only reason. There's another reason, too. And because this coaching news presents some fascinating problems for the left's narrative, and it kind of shows you how the left's narrative works. And here's why. Raheem Morris, who just got the head coach gig in Atlanta, he's been around the league for a while. He's a relatively young guy. He's like 47, 48 years old. But he's been around the league for a while, and he got his first head coach job like 15 years ago. He has a track record, and it's not good. He has a losing record as a head coach. A thoroughly losing record. So it's not even close to 500. He's probably 300 or something. He's never been to a Super Bowl. I don't think he has any playoff wins. He has nothing. you know, it's just he has failed in his head coaching opportunities in the past. He has been poor to mediocre. Mediocre has been kind of his ceiling when really he's been a poor head coach. And he's also a black man. Meanwhile, there is another head coach free agent on the market, as referenced in the article, named Bill Belichick, who you've probably heard of. He has 6 Super Bowl rings. He has more wins than any other coach in the history of the game, except for one. And he's within striking distance of having the most wins out of any coach who's ever coached in professional football. He interviewed for this job twice, which is, I don't know if I can quite explain how, what that means. Like he took 2 interviews. This guy's a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. And he took 2 interviews. He not only interviewed once, like you would think, right? If I was Bill Belichick, I wouldn't take any interview. In the first place, I would say, I got an interview for the job. I'm Bill Belichick. What do you mean? I got an interview for the job. Like, you know what I can do. I'm not going to interview with you. Much less come back a second time. That's like, it's like if Daniel Day-Lewis not only came in to audition for your role in your movie, but actually came in for a follow-up audition. And he was auditioning against just like guys who have acted in commercials. And then he doesn't get the gig. Like, it's like that. Now, I'm not saying that Raheem Morris got the job because he's black. I'm not saying this is a diversity DEI hire situation. I'm legitimately not saying that. Okay, I'm not being coy when I say it's like I don't think that's what happened. The NFL now they do have a ridiculous policy, the Rooney Rule, where teams have to interview minority candidates for head coaching gigs, even if they already know who they want. They have to go through the motions of interviewing minority candidates. But I don't think he got the job because he's black. I think he got it because one of the quirks of the NFL is that, you know, you've got these guys, these kind of mediocre coaches who've never accomplished anything, who just sort of hang around for decades, and they keep getting jobs. And this is black and white coaches. This happens with mediocrity in the NFL is colorblind. You've just got it's frustrating and confounding for the fans. No one quite understands it. You've just got these guys. It's like Jeff Fisher, coach for the Titans for many years, was one of these guys. He's mediocre. All he ever did was he'd go 500 in the season. He kept getting jobs, and no one could figure out why. All I'm saying is that the sports media and the left have claimed and still claim that the NFL is racist against black coaches, which is absurd on its face for a million reasons we talked about before. But if you actually believe that it was true, well, this event should shake your faith in that theory to its core. Because if the NFL is racist against black coaches, how in God's name could a black coach with a losing record and no rings get a job over a white coaching legend with 6 rings who interviewed for the job twice? It's like impossible, right? If you didn't know anything about the NFL and someone told you, the first thing they told you is, look, first thing you need to know about this league is they're racist against black coaches. That's you need to know that. Okay. You would not predict based on that theory that there could ever be a scenario where a losing black coach could get a job over a white coach who's been to the Super Bowl and won it 6 times, because it just doesn't make any sense. But will this event cause the – and by the way, it's not like Raheem Morris is the first black coach with a losing record to get a job. As I said, it happens many times. In this case, it's just – it's even more noticeable given who he got the job over. But will this cause the race hustlers, the Jameel Hills of the world, to reconsider or recalibrate? Will they look at this and say, okay, well, you know, that's not quite what we would expect if, given that the NFL is racist against head coaches, we thought, black head coaches. Okay. Like, I'm not even saying will they abandon their theory of systemic racism against black coaches in the NFL and in society generally. Of course, they're not going to abandon it, but will they even like take it into account? Will it be a data point that they look at and try to factor into their equation? Well, no, of course, because this is why I say systemic racism in every aspect of life, including in the NFL, is an unfalsifiable theory. There is nothing that can happen that will ever cause the people who believe in this theory and who have postulated this theory, there is nothing that could ever happen that will ever disprove or discredit or even weaken this theory in their minds. Unfalsifiable, which is why it is an illegitimate and false theory in the end. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
When it comes to dinner, you're looking for tasty, flavor, ample portions, choices, and great value in a cozy, clean, family-friendly environment. Guests tell us our home-style dinners deliver on all counts. Whether you choose chicken fried steak, house-made meatloaf, roasted turkey, or slow-cooked pot roast, you'll be full and satisfied in the best way possible. So make Black Bear Diner your January comfort dinner destination. Open daily at 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me on Monday as we welcome Laura Hunt, candidate for District 2 Supervisor. Let's find out what she's running on and what is the most salient point that she wants to achieve. Also joining us is Todd Jones from the Economic Development Corporation with an outlook on what business looks like in Redding and Shasta County in the upcoming year. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
To qualify.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. This weekend, I happened to see a post pop up on my Twitter feed from a guy named Joseph Massey, who's apparently a poet. And I don't know anything about Joseph Massey's work, but I do know that he's a poet who knows how to spot bad poetry, at least, and is willing to call it out when he does. And that already puts him ahead of, like, 99% of people working in the arts generally, any art today. So Massey posted a poetry sample from a guy named Jason Allen Pizant, who just won the T.S. Eliot Award for poetry. And I don't know anything about the T.S. Eliot Award, but I do know that it comes with a $25,000 prize. And also the prestige of winning an honor named after one of the greatest poets of the 20th century. So this is a this is an award-winning poet, right? And 25,000 might not seem like a lot, you know, compared to like what other people in other arts make, but for poetry, that's you might as well have won 25 million. So does Jason Allen Pizant deserve to be recognized this way? Well, here's the sample of his work that Joseph Massey posted, and this is a piece called "And You." This was written by, again, an award-winning poet. So this is like, this guy's at the top of the game for poetry these days. And here's a poem. I will recite it to you. A little poodle runs to show you love. You like the feel of the animal's body on your leg. It's something of an acceptance, so you smile. And are not the least bit bothered. You even hope it'll jump, though the lady yells, "No jumping, Sam, no jumping." And when she adds, "You know he just loves everybody," why should you suddenly feel tears coming? It's just that everybody. How do you explain this? There's nobody to explain it to. Why she needed to take away from you this one feeling of special? How could she know it was the most human moment of your day? The most human moment in weeks. Now, the less discerning listener may be fooled into thinking that that poem is better than it really is because of my beautiful, raw, nuanced performance, which elevated the material. But if you can look past my unmistakable talents as a slam poet, you'll see that this is just absolute dreck. And, you know, we're looking entirely past the fact that nobody should ever under any circumstance write the phrase, "You like the feel of the animal's body on your leg." That's weird enough. But even without that one particularly creepy note, the rest is like vapid and empty. It would be a compliment to call it a rudimentary or juvenile poem. It doesn't even meet that standard, I would say, because it's not poetry. Okay. I'm not a poetry expert. I admit. But even I know that there is supposed to be form to poetry. You can't just write a run-on sentence and then break the lines up randomly and throw in a few arbitrary semicolons and call it a poem. But that's what passes for poetry these days. Like it's the same strategy used by the award-winning, highly touted, you know, most praised poet of our time, Amanda Gorman, who's the performed at Joe Biden's inauguration. Same exact thing. Like that's what poetry is now. You write a run-on sentence. No rhyme, no form, no rhythm, no substance, none of that matters. Just any sentence at all, but you break it up, like not even in a way that gives it rhythm, but just make sure you break up the lines before a sentence ends. And then like, so you have a whole sentence, and then the last two words of the sentence are on the line underneath it before you start the next sentence, and then, you know, and you repeat that. And if you do that, that's poetry. That's brilliant. You'll win awards. It's brilliant. People will watch. And it's similar in some ways to what we just said about the trans agenda, where like everyone knows, no one would see poetry like that. and actually think that it's good. You know, that thing with about the poodle, no one is going to hear that and say, well, that's amazing. That's the best part. That's incredible. That is art. No one thinks that. But the difference is that that some people have been convinced, and we find this in all the arts, you know, films, everything, music. People have been convinced that they're supposed to pretend that they like it because it will make them seem sophisticated. And so it all rests on that as the celebration of mediocrity in every facet of life continues. Like the bland, the ugly, the insipid, the uninspired, all elevated everywhere you look. But the good news is that it means that any one of us now could be a genius artist if we want to be. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
970.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. So So yesterday during this segment, I spent about 20 minutes explaining why, in my view, the psychology field is in large part, though not in every case, a scam. And as it happens, I feel much the same way about the university system. Not every college is a massively overpriced waste of money, but most are. Not every college student is getting bilked out of thousands of dollars for an education that isn't worth the paper it's printed on, but most are. So when you can combine these two things, the psychology field and the college system, that's when you really get into some very questionable territory. Again, not always, but often. And that brings us to Joshua Grubbs, a psychology professor who just wrote an article for The Hill announcing that the people concerned about the effects of pornography are engaged in a moral panic and should probably just calm down. Now, I'm going to read a sizable chunk of this and then respond to it. It's an excellent window into not only the flaws in the pornapologist argument, but also the limitations of the psychology field itself. Reading now, quote, "Many of the concerns about pornography lack grounding in what careful scientific research has taught us about pornography use. As a psychology professor and addiction researcher, I have made a career out of understanding pornography use and its effects, publishing dozens of scientific studies on the topic. Across that work, the most consistent finding is that simple narratives like porn is bad or porn is good are flawed. Such assertions and that argument and the arguments that underpin them always miss key information or almost always wrong. Those who foment panic about pornography often claim that pornography leads to addiction and mental health problems, damages the brain, results in violence against women, and drives epidemics of sexual dysfunction. The science does not currently support these claims." Now, notice how this is being framed. He says that the statement porn is bad is flawed. It's a false narrative. He says that we know it's flawed and false because of the science. So he's entirely ignoring the fact that when most people say porn is bad, they don't mean it in a scientific sense. Good and bad are concepts that extend beyond the scientific realm. There is no science of good and bad. Science can tell us a lot about, you know, things in the physical world, but it cannot tell us whether those things are good or bad. That is a qualitative and moral judgment. It's not a scientific one, but we'll return to that in a moment. Continuing, claims that pornography is inherently addictive are without basis. Some people do become out of control in their use of pornography, but the same can be said of exercise, shopping, or even working. Yet there is no rush to label most of those things as addictive because not every habitual behavior is an addiction. And just because some people develop real problems with pornography, it does not mean that pornography is inherently likely to lead to those types of problems for most users. The scientific and psychiatric communities do not currently consider excessive pornography use to be an addictive disorder. Dozens of studies have demonstrated that most people who view pornography do not feel addicted or out of control. Among people who do say they feel addicted, the reasons for those feelings range from real concerns about how much they view pornography to simple feelings of shame about their sexual behaviors. Okay, let's break this down. I actually agree that pornography is not addictive, but that's because I take a much, much, much more conservative view of addiction than most people, and certainly most psychologists. To my mind, the word addiction only makes sense and is only useful when we're talking about the physical chemical dependencies experienced by, you know, fentanyl addicts and crackheads and people like that. Everything outside of chemical dependency is less an addiction and more a compulsion or a very strong habit, but in my opinion. But that's a different argument than what Professor Grubbs is presenting. Instead, he links to studies that he says show that most people who view pornography don't feel addicted. Now, the problems here are numerous and obvious. First of all, he employs a common method all throughout this article of linking to one study after another without taking the time to actually explain what these studies say exactly and how they were conducted and what their methodologies and findings were, et cetera. Instead, he simply provides a link to the studies, knowing, of course, that almost nobody's going to follow the links and actually read the many walls of text on the other end. Now, of course, I'm one of the weird people who will read a study when somebody claims it proves their case, except here I discovered that in some cases the studies he links to are paywalled, and you have to give your credit card information to get the full text, and that's where I draw the line personally. The studies that I could read were extremely weak at best, and you could tell they're weak just from the way he describes them. Most porn users don't feel addicted. Is that really the bar we're setting? In order for it to be concerned, most have to be addicted? Do we apply that to anything else? I mean, most alcohol drinkers are not alcoholics. In fact, only around 8% of men who drink alcohol are alcoholics. Yet I'm pretty sure that Professor Grubbs would say that alcoholism is a major problem. You know, if I try to dismiss concerns about alcoholism by saying, well, most people who drink alcohol aren't alcoholics, I'd be laughed out of the room, as I should be. It's like, most? It has to be most in order for it to be an issue? 8% is a high enough number to qualify as a significant issue for alcohol. which is strange because one of his studies that he links to and assumes we won't read says that 11% of male porn users reported that they are addicted. Now, sure, 11% isn't most, but given the number of people who watch porn, it's extremely high. We're talking about millions of people here. Yet, this is all sort of irrelevant because it's all based on self-reported data from porn users who are telling us whether they personally feel addicted or not. Is this psychology professor really so clueless about human psychology that he doesn't understand that many times addicts don't feel addicted and won't tell you that they are addicted, even if everybody else in their lives can clearly see that they are? Does he truly not understand that? Like, I've encountered many alcoholics in my day who certainly would not describe themselves as alcoholics on a survey. That doesn't mean they're not alcoholics. Just as I'm quite sure that there are plenty of men who watch porn for hours a day and it's destroying their lives and destroying their marriages. Yet if you ask them, they'll tell you that they're fine and their porn use is not a problem. This is called denial, which again is something that a guy who teaches psychology should be able to grasp. Moving on, quote, similarly, although pornography can be associated with mental health concerns, most evidence suggests that links between its use and things like depression, anxiety, and stress are not causal in nature. Several studies have found no direct links between how often people use pornography and their likelihood of experiencing mental health problems in the future. People experiencing depression and anxiety might use pornography more, but there's no conclusive evidence that the pornography is the cause rather than the effect. Now, once again, we get the link to the studies that supposedly makes the case, but he doesn't tell us anything about the studies specifically. You'll notice that the professor so far has not actually made a single complete argument. Instead, he just assures us that other people have made these arguments and we can trust what they said, whoever they are exactly and whatever it is they actually said. One of the studies he provides required me to pay $17.95 for a PDF, and the other demanded $40 for access to the PDF. If you aren't willing to invest that money, and I'm not, then all you can do is read the abstract. And here's what I can glean from those. One of them apparently found that there is, in fact, a link between psychological distress and pornography use, except the study determined that the real cause of the psychological distress is the fact that the porn users perceived themselves to be addicted, even though we were just told that there's not really a problem with people perceiving themselves to be addicted, so whatever. So they're saying it's the perception of the addiction that causes distress, not the porn itself, the study claims. Now, the idea that a study based on self-reported data can somehow discern that psychological distress is rooted in a perception of porn addiction rather than the porn itself is just frankly stupid. I mean, here we have the researchers taking these subjective reports of the participants and using their subjective reports to arrive at their own subjective analysis of the root cause of the participants' distress. In other words, this is totally useless. This is not science. And yet the upshot is that this study, no matter how it tries to frame it, does find a link between psychological distress and porn. Now, the other study is even worse for the professor's case. This one uses a sample of 775 female and 514 male Croatian high school students who were surveyed 6 times over the course of a few years. Here's what the study found. Quote, we observed no significant correspondence between growth in pornography use and changes in the two indicators of psychological well-being over time in either female or male participants. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it means that as the participants used more pornography, they did not report feeling any worse about themselves over the years. Now, if you're a critical thinker, you might note that polling high school students about how they feel is not even close to an accurate way of measuring their actual well-being. And more importantly, you might also note that this only is measuring changes in their psychological state from the baseline. And the baseline is whatever their psychological state was at the start of the study. But what if these kids started using porn before high school, as many of them surely did, and negative psychological effects had already been suffered before the study started? In other words, what if their psychological baseline itself had been negatively impacted by porn use? Isn't that possible? Well, yes, it's not just possible. In fact, this study, the very study the professor cited as proof that porn doesn't negatively impact mental health, actually showed that it probably did negatively impact mental health. Reading now, it says, quote, however, a significant negative association was found between female adolescent pornography use and psychological well-being at baseline. This study's findings do not corroborate the notion that pornography use in middle to late adolescence contributes to adverse psychological well-being, but do not rule out such a link during an earlier developmental phase. So this is what happens when you read the studies. You quite often discover that people who cite studies are full of crap. And from there, the professor assures us that despite claims to the contrary, porn is not stunting neural development or changing people's brains. For this, he provides no links, no citations, no evidence, not even any studies, nothing. He just asserts it. And as for whether there's an association between porn and sexual violence, he tells us this, quote, "While associations between sexual violence and violent pornography have been found in some research, these links are not present in all studies." Oh, so there are multiple studies finding a link between porn and sexual violence, but that's the headline here. But he says that's okay because not every study has shown that. So not every study shows a link between porn and sexual violence, and not everyone is addicted to porn, and so therefore it's okay. If you're keeping track at home, in this article that's supposed to be defending porn, we have been told that some studies have found a link between psychological distress and porn use and between sexual violence and porn use. This, again, is in an article claiming that there's a moral panic around porn. Yet somehow I come away from this article hating porn even more than I did before I read it. And after utterly failing to make his case, the professor concludes this way, quote, "Ultimately, pornography is one form of media in a world that is more saturated than ever with media of all forms. Pornography has flourished in the internet era, so too have podcasts, streaming television, and digitized music. It is natural for parents, educators, and policymakers to be concerned about children's exposure to sexual media. It's also normal for people to worry about how new forms of media are affecting people of all ages. But moral panics based on fear and pseudoscience don't lead to effective parenting, education, or policy. Instead, what is needed is real support for science, seeking to understand how all media is affecting people, and a willingness to understand the science before making regulatory and policy changes." So that's the argument in closing, drawing a moral equivalence between podcasts and pornography. That's how he wraps things up. That's the science, apparently. Except the problem, aside from the fact that the science, as we've seen, is mostly bogus and doesn't even say what he's saying it says, the problem is that this is not a scientific question. Porn is indeed bad, and it is bad because it dehumanizes and degrades and debases everybody involved. Porn turns people into objects, and it is bad for people to be made into objects. It is bad for them to be treated as objects and to see others as objects. Now, what does the science say about the degradation and objectification of the human person? Nothing. You cannot quantify moral degradation and objectification in a scientific study. Science can't tell us whether someone has been degraded or whether degradation is a good or bad or neutral thing. Just like science can't tell you that it's morally wrong to gossip or lie or steal. You know, if I steal from you and you confront me about it and you tell me that you're angry that I stole, it would make no sense for me to respond, "Oh yeah? Well, show me the study that says I shouldn't have stolen from you." Stealing is wrong because it's stealing, because you're taking a thing that doesn't belong to you. I don't know that because of the science. I just know because it's true, because I'm a human being with a conscious mind. People get upset about stealing. You know, there's a lot of stealing and looting and shoplifting happening right now across the country. People are rightly angry about it. That's not a moral panic. And even if it was, science wouldn't be able to tell us that. Science can't tell us about moral panics one way or another because science doesn't know what moral is and isn't. Professor Grubb set out to prove that the concerns over porn are a moral panic and then proceeded to write a lengthy article that says nothing at all about the subject the article is supposed to be about. Like, if you want to say that it's a moral panic over pornography, you need to make a moral argument. Tell me why. So people, it's a moral panic. Moral panic means that people are reacting to something and seeing it as a moral crisis when it's not, right? So explain why it's not a moral crisis. Explain why it's not a moral problem. He makes no argument. There's not one sentence that even comes close to making that kind of argument. All he has are studies, which are really not all that scientific and which don't even say what he claims they say, but even if they were and they did, they still would never be able to tell us whether porn is morally bad or not. But it is morally bad, profoundly so, because again, it degrades and lessens both the performer and viewer alike. You don't need a study to tell you that. That's what your soul is for. And we all have souls. even psychology professors, believe it or not. And this particular psychology professor is today cancer. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A military panel at Guantanamo Bay recommends 23-year sentences for two detainees.
The recommended 23-year sentences follow guilty pleas earlier this month by longtime Malaysian detainees Mohamed Farik bin Amin and Mohamed Nazir bin Lep. Both deny any role or advanced knowledge in the Bali bombings that killed 202 people. But they admitted conspiring over time with Jamaah Islamiyah, the extremist group responsible for the bombings. The two are among 780 detainees brought to military detention at Guantanamo under the George W. Bush administration's war on terror following the September 11th attacks. There have been only a handful of convictions over the years. I'm Norman Hall.
The U.S. Navy is starting to enlist individuals who did not graduate from high school or get a GED.
It marks the second time in about a year that the service has opened the door to lower-performing recruits as it struggles to meet enlistment goals. The decision follows a move in December 2022 to bring in a larger number of recruits who score very low on the Armed Services Qualification Test. Both are fairly rare steps that the other services largely avoid or limit, even though they're all finding it increasingly difficult to attract the dwindling number of young people who can meet the military's physical, mental, and moral standards. Keith Peters reporting.
A retired FBI agent says the six people found dead in a rural area of the San Bernardino County desert earlier this week appear to be victims of a gangland-style killing. The bodies were found late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning during a welfare check. None of the victims have been identified. No cause of death has been given. WWE founder Vince McMahon is resigning amid allegations of sex trafficking in a new lawsuit. A former employee filed the lawsuit in a Connecticut court this week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, the fact of pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Laura Trump provides a fresh and honest perspective on the issues that matter to you on The Right View podcast. Now available on the Salem Podcast Network.
The number of Americans, and I think this is part of the problem right now, the number of Americans getting their news from TikTok quadrupled in the past 3 years. It really kind of terrifies me for what is to come for this country.
Subscribe to The Right View on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Rumble, or at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
An American chemistry professor is creating a stir in Great Britain by suggesting that tea drinkers use a pinch of salt.
Michelle Francil is a chemistry professor at Bryn Mawr College in Pennsylvania. Her new book, Steeped, The Chemistry of Tea, published just this week, suggests drinking tea with a pinch of salt.
So it makes this cup of tea taste less bitter. It's kind of a rescue thing.
That's not sitting well with many tea drinkers across the pond. But to be good sports about it, these ladies in Manchester, England, gave it a try during their traditional English afternoon tea.
No, I thought it would be worse.
Absolutely awful.
Yeah.
No, you can taste the salt.
I don't like the salt.
All audio courtesy of ITN. I'm Donna Water.
California's wine country, a moderate earthquake shook Sonoma County Friday. The preliminary measurement puts the quake at 4.2. News and analysis at townhall.com. U.S. auto safety regulators have closed an investigation with Ford.
There were complaints that the doors on some Ford Escapes can open while the SUVs are being driven. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says its probe found that there is a low potential hazard to drivers and that Ford is doing a customer satisfaction program to fix the problem. The agency says the SUVs have an audible and visual warning if the doors don't latch properly. Ford will send letters to owners in March telling them of the service campaign, which fixes the problem but is short of a recall. John Scott reporting.
House Speaker Mike Johnson's warning the emerging deal linking border policy changes and aid for Ukraine could be dead on arrival in his chamber. He reiterated demand to pass the House GOP's immigration bill, known as H.R. 2. Also said they'll announce a House vote soon to impeach the DHS secretary. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
The federal government It reveals the fact that the federal government is not on the side of the American people. It reveals that the Biden administration and Joe Biden himself and behind the curtain Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's back there too. She wants to force trickle-down economics. It'll be mandatory. Trickle-down economics will be mandatory. Giggle, giggle. And then, you know, the rail spurs and the death camps were stood up. The Democrat Party is not on our side. They're not friends of humanity. They're not friends of the United States of America. And there's a lot to say about that today. But Trump, this is a headline from Fox News. Trump urges states to surge National Guard to Texas as Abbott standoff with Biden accelerates. Now, I believe that I made that recommendation yesterday morning. About 24 hours ago, I made that very same recommendation. Said Republican governors around the country should load up buses and airplanes with their National Guard troops, move those National Guard troops down. Every Republican governor in the country should be doing this, moving National Guard troops down to Texas to secure our border in defiance of the corrupt federal government, dirty, filthy, rotten, corrupt Biden administration. And then, as I said yesterday, load up the buses and the planes that they fly down there with National Guard people, load them up with illegal aliens, and on the airplanes, move them all to Martha's Vineyard. On the buses, move them to Chicago and New York and Washington, D.C. I live in Washington, D.C. That's exactly what should be happening right now. The Republican governors should present a unified front against the corrupt Biden administration and the corrupt Democrats and move. And I think President Trump has a great idea. Yesterday, as I explained, it was my best girl that came up with the idea yesterday morning while we were sitting on the couch taking in the news. And my best girl said, you know, all the Republican governors around the country should send all their National Guard troops down to Texas, activate, mobilize the National Guard in state after state. And now we have 25 states, 25 governors. They're all Republicans because the Democrats are not on our side. But and that means America, not the Republican side, but the Democrats are not on the side of America or Western civilization. It's sad. It's tragic because they used to be, but they're not anymore. And I don't know what more evidence you need. Go out and get carjacked. Speaking of which, yesterday, and I heard on the news on WMAL radio this morning in Washington, D.C., about a woman now in custody in Prince George's County in Maryland. Don't say PG County because that's racist. But in Prince George's County, a woman is in custody, and she ran over five people deliberately in three different locations and hit-and-run attacks and stabbed two people. Two people stabbed in two different locations, and all that police can say about her is that she is a Democrat. That's all that we know so far. Appears to be in the video that they released, surveillance video, looks like from the gas station, a woman of color, a Biden voter, a Biden supporter, and a Democrat Party fan, and she's in custody now, but she's a psychopath. Now, if we're trying to figure out if there's a racial component to this, as there so often is, but we decided, Michael and I discussing this morning, that if the woman, young African-American woman, it looks like, attacked and ran over five white people and stabbed two white people, that would not be a part of the story. That would be left out. The news media would not see that as a newsworthy element in the story. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But back to Texas and as the headline says on my story sheet today, the coming civil war. Trump urges states to surge National Guard to Texas as Abbott standoff with Biden accelerates. We've got kind of a battle. I don't want to say a war, but a battle between the states. You know, Barack Obama is going to get all kinds of awards, and Michelle Obama, because they're executive producers of movies now, because Hollywood, Hot Tub, Circle Fest, you know how it works. And they're at Netflix, and they pay them tens of millions of dollars to review other people's scripts and see if they can make the scripts more racist and more polarizing and more divisive. And they executive produce what's it called? Leave the World Behind. And it's an apocalypse takes place in the United States and only the United States. The rest of the world we don't know anything about. But we are getting our comeuppance from, you know, the Satan-worshipping after-school Satan Club people. And everything terrible happens in the United States of America. And naturally, Barack and Michelle Obama are the executive producers of the movie. And it is being described as, and I watched it, my best girl and I, we watched it, it's pretty terrible. And it is an America gets apocalypse all its own, gets an apocalypse all its own, in the Barack and Michelle Obama movie. And that's interesting enough, but the Democrats in Hollywood are also coming out this year with a movie, eloquently called Civil War. It's just called Civil War. That's all you need to know about it. And it's about the coming Civil War. This is a big, major Hollywood production with stars and big-time producers and directors and stuff. And Civil War, that's the Democrats. And I talked about it more than a month ago when it first popped up. We played the trailer for you of the movie of the coming Civil War. And they love this. And again, Netflix with Barack and Michelle Obama with their apocalyptic anti-American movie, because they're not on our side and they don't like us. It's an amazing thing. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the son of Robert F. Kennedy Sr., who was shot in the head by Sirhan Sirhan. I mentioned that yesterday, too. And RFK Jr. praises Texas in the battle with Biden over border. That's the people at the Hill in Washington, D.C. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. tweeting, you know, it's an ex post, Texas is right. RFK Jr. says, Texas is right. Biden's failure to secure the border leaves states no choice but to take matters into their own hands. As president, he says, he thinks he's running for president, as president, I will end this humanitarian crisis once and for all. Nuclear weapons, maybe? I will secure the border and destroy the business model of the drug cartels. A country without borders is not a country at all. And then he's got #Kennedy24, because he really thinks he's running for president. It's a Kennedy thing you wouldn't understand. Amazing stuff. But that is a, you know, that's a good for him on his tweet. He's right about half the time. That might be generous, but maybe not. I think he's right about half the time. And breaking news from SCNR. 25 Republican governors signed letter backing Texas Governor Greg Abbott's right to secure the border. Are the Democrats pushing a civil war in the United States of America, the Joe Biden administration? Now we've broken down, how many states were there in the Confederacy? I think there were 11 states in the Confederacy and kind of two junior members, something like that. And now we've got 25, and it's all Republicans, of course, signing the letter, because the Democrats would go down and blow up America along the border and wave ISIS and Hamas and everybody else and the cartels into the country, and they'd hand over your daughters because they're not on our side. But I'll update you on that, share with you. I mean, the states, you can probably already predict who the states are, but amazing stuff. Also, Nikki Haley, the RNC yesterday, said that they're declaring President Trump the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party. And Nikki Haley says, who cares what the RNC says? She doesn't care what the RNC, because it's kind of a, you know, kick in the pants for her from the RNC, saying that Trump is the presumptive nominee after two states. We had the Iowa caucuses and then the New Hampshire primary. Trump won them both handily, of course. Nikki Haley lost them both handily. The Democrats tampered in the primary in New Hampshire to the extent that they could, and probably to a pretty significant extent they tampered there. And so this is fascinating stuff. Oh yeah, speaking of which, tampering, the Democrats tampering in the election. I mentioned it yesterday while we were still on the air, but the front page headline, the upper right-hand corner of the A sectional of the Washington Post. They have the A sectional, they have the Metro sectional. And the headline is, Biden to send CIA director to help broker Gaza deal. Burns, William Burns is his name. Really nobody knows these days. Burns to meet with key parties, officials say. And I'm looking at this, sending the CIA director to the Middle East to try to negotiate this war. I sure hope it doesn't get in the way of the CIA meddling in the presidential election this year. Because, you know, last time the CIA penitentiary faced Brennan and the rest of them, 51 signed onto that corrupt letter, falsely claiming, suggesting, you know, that Hunter laptop reporting Hunter Biden laptop, reporting the New York Post, had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation, when in reality the penitentiary faced Brennan letter signed by 51 had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation and a Russian information operation run against the American people on behalf of Joe Biden, because they knew that Joe Biden would be good for the tyrants of the world. Got to keep that in mind at all times. The left is great, great news for the tyrants of the world. As I've been saying for many years, only the tyrants of the world need fear the wrath of the United States of America. But if the tyrants of the world do not fear the wrath of the United States of America, then the tyrants of the world have nothing to fear. And that's where we are today. And so Biden to send his CIA director, William Burns, to help with the Gaza. And, you know, honestly, I guess they'll have other people back here that can still tamper in our elections, can still meddle in our elections, still corrupt our elections, because that's part of their role now at the Central Intelligence Agency. And by the way, we do have a chief diplomat, don't we? Antony Blinken, milquetoast Tony. And he was over there mumbling his way through negotiations for a little while, and then he flew home, and I think he's in the witness protection program. We haven't seen the set. It's not like the world is on fire. Oh, wait, the world is on fire, and we're all going to die soon. That's a little Katie Porter reference and her 9-year-old girl. But where's our chief diplomat? Where's our secretary of state? Maybe he's in a tunnel in Gaza. Maybe he's being held hostage, as we haven't seen him in a long time. The CIA director, Burns, is going to try to secure the release of all hostages and call for a 2-month ceasefire. But in the meantime, Hamas is torturing and raping and peeling the skin off the hostages that they have. And Joe Biden doesn't say a word about it, and our news media doesn't say a word about it. How many American hostages are being held? We really don't even know, because we don't have a legitimate news media in America. They could care less about those human lives. Remember when they used to chant Black Lives Matter? That was a lie. They were lying about that. They don't believe that. I know they don't believe that, because they don't believe any lives matter. That's the thing about the left. They've been consistent in that for many decades now. I've got updates for you on the Capitol Hill border deal and the economy, which the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, tell us is booming. The economy is booming. And you may not be smart enough to know how good you've got it under Bidenomics, but the Washington Post has the story on the front page about how great the economy is. So we've got that coming up, and a whole lot more. 888-630-9625, Chicago, getting involved in foreign policy. It's a crazy world out there. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with things I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of the disease called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, straight lines seem wavy, like when looking at a doorframe. For others, blurry or missing spots can make it hard to read or see loved ones' faces. Many have trouble seeing in low light, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you've been diagnosed with AMD and notice vision changes, don't wait. Talk to your eye doctor about GA today. Learn more at gawontwait.com. That's gawontwait.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price participation may vary. Includes choice of JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with four-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save many families up to $500 a month. And that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want to plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
With love I will build a wonderful thing that makes this life better for you and for me.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. To find out more, go to loveshriners.org.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states.
This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-781-1815. That's 800-781-1815. Again, 800-781-1815.
Tender steaks, juicy burgers, tasty chicken. Omaha Steaks is love at first bite. Now get four free boneless chicken breasts and four free boneless pork chops with your order at omahasteaks.com/sizzle. Omaha Steaks Butcher's Cut Filet Mignon, Top Sirloin, Premium Ground Beef Patties. It's heartland perfection. Order at omahasteaks.com/sizzle and score four free chicken breasts and four free pork chops. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Yeah, those darn Republicans in the Senate won't give Ukraine $60 billion. Well, in reality, that's what the Washington Post says. In reality, it's the Democrats won't do anything to secure our border unless Ukraine gets $60 billion. They're holding America hostage. They've got a gun to our head, a gun in the baby's mouth, the hammer pulled back, their quivering finger on the trigger. As I'm just using Washington rhetoric, you know, trying to teach the Republicans how to play this game that the Democrats play every day. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Edward. Calling from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Eduardo, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Yes, Chris, thanks to talk to you again.
Welcome.
Yes, and I have a simple solution to this razor wire crisis on the Texas border.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Biden administration claims that they want to take down the razor wire so their border agents can get through in case there's a legitimate reason to get on the other side. All Texas would have to do would be put a secure gate in the middle of the razor wire. they could do that, it would only cost thousands of dollars. And, you know, that should solve the problem, at least the way Biden's claiming it to be.
There you go, being practical again and coming up with practical solutions like a normal American, like someone from Western civilization. But you acknowledge, Edward, that that's not what the Biden administration wants, right?
That's correct. It certainly seems like it.
And this is what this whole civil war that the Biden administration is launching reveals, is that they will fight hammer and sickle, hammer and tongue, and they will fight to keep our border open. And anyone, any governor, along the way, happened in Arizona too, you try to secure our border, the Biden administration will fight you all the way to the Supreme Court. They will tear down any obstruction to illegal activity on our border. I wonder if the Biden family got millions of dollars from the cartels. That would explain everything.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Last 5 Years, written and composed by Jason Robert Brown, directed by Lauren Stanfield, with musical director Cheyenne Hara. This musical chronicles the 5-year relationship of a couple, with a unique narrative perspective of each character revealing their experiences in opposite chronological order. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy The Score, Reading, and At the Door. The Last 5 Years, January 26th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
A lot of border, certainly, today, because there are those who are suggesting that the United States has never been this close to civil war since the Democrats fired on Fort Sumter, starting the first civil war in the United States of America. Now the Democrats are looking to tear the country apart again, and the Democrats are doing a good job of tearing the country apart. They love to balkanize the country along lines of race and ethnicity. And, of course, by gender. And in San Francisco, there are more than 100 genders. In America, there are only two genders. In the Democrat Party, more than 100 genders. And let me just say, you know, there's a pretty clear-cut choice here, I think, today. and texting with friends this morning, I touched on this and with family too. If the Republican Party knew how to engage in politics, and they apparently don't, if they knew how to message as a verb, then this would be a great opportunity for them. Now, the corrupt news media, the bootlick news media, they're out there saying, oh, the Republicans just want to keep the border open because they want it as an election year issue, but they don't want to fix the border. That is, of course, the projection reality again, and it's the Russian playbook. It's the Russian playbook, the Soviet playbook, and that is they accuse you of doing whatever it is that they are doing. Victoria Nuland, State Department, Obama administration, under oath on Capitol Hill.
It is classic Russian technique to blame on the other guy what they're planning to do themselves.
And the Democrats do that every single day. They learn from the Russians. And when she says Russians, she really means the Soviets. That's the Soviet communist playbook to accuse you of doing what they are doing or what they are about to do. Because then when they do it, they say, well, you guys are doing it. And so we have to. And it's the old commie playbook. But texting with friends this morning, Maureen and others, the message ought to be, you are either with Greg Abbott, you stand with Greg Abbott, or you stand with the cartels. You stand with Greg Abbott, or you stand with the child sex traffickers. You stand with Greg Abbott, who's wheelchair-bound, by the way, or you stand with the fentanyl dealers, the fentanyl traffickers. And let me say, the Democrats stand with the cartels. The Democrats stand with the child sex traffickers. The Democrats, Joe Biden, where is Tara Reid anyway? Oh, yeah, she had to flee the country because she's so afraid of the Biden family after she revealed that Joe Biden sexually assaulted her when she was a Joe Biden staffer in the Senate on Capitol Hill. But Joe Biden and the Democrats are with the fentanyl traffickers. They are with the child sex traffickers. They are with the Mexican drug cartels that have murdered hundreds of thousands of people, literally hanging them upside down from bridges and things, and killing 100,000 Americans a year in fatal drug overdoses, of more than 70,000 a year last year and the year before from fentanyl alone, which comes out of communist China, which is where the Wuhan Red Death came from at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And the Chinese communists funnel the fentanyl elements to the cartels in Mexico, who then traffic the fentanyl across our Democrat Party open borders, where more than 73,000 Americans died of fentanyl overdoses alone last year, fentanyl poisonings last year alone. Again, more than 58,000 Americans died in the Vietnam War between 1959 and 1975. And fentanyl alone killed more than 73,000 Americans last year, in 1 year. More than 100,000 fatal drug overdoses last year. Open borders have a great deal to do with that. If you're paying attention, you might be under the impression that the left does not have any regard for American lives. And when you come to that conclusion, you will be correct. They have no regard for American lives, and they're the left. They have no regard for human life. Yeah, they call 63 million abortions a good start. What do they? They also call it women's health. They call it women's health. That's an interesting euphemism. But the talking point really ought to be that you are with Greg Abbott or you're with the cartels. You're with Greg Abbott or you're with the child sex traffickers. You're with Greg Abbott or you're with the fentanyl traffickers. And the Republicans, I don't know, they hire people to do this stuff, don't they? They could just listen to my show and steal my stuff. A lot of other radio shows do. The Republicans should do it, too. Honestly. Crazy, crazy times that we're in. And again, President Trump might have been listening to my radio show yesterday or somebody talking to him. He comes up with these great ideas on his own, too. But yesterday, and I credited my best girl yesterday morning because it was her idea. And so naturally, I would credit my best girl with the idea. My best girl over the newspaper, and she was having coffee. I was having orange juice. And said, My best girl said, you know, Republican governors around the country really ought to send National Guard troops from their states down to Texas as a show of solidarity and a show of force to defend the United States of America, to protect and defend the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And right now, we need to secure our border. And again, the Biden administration and the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, are ringing the dinner bell to the entire world, declaring that our border is open. And if Texas tries to secure our border, Joe Biden will send troops down there to cut that razor wire and open the border again. And that sends the sign to Xi Jinping and to Vlad the Impaler. And we had this guy the other day, you'll all know who I am soon, right? You're too stupid to know who I am. You will know who I am soon. Should have been taken out with a helicopter gunship on the spot. But the Democrat Party. So President Trump urged the states to surge National Guard to Texas as Abbott standoff with Biden accelerates. And that was my best girl's idea yesterday morning. And I shared it with you yesterday morning. And President Trump is right to suggest that Republican governors do that. Former President Donald Trump on Thursday gave his backing to Texas Governor Greg Abbott amid the latter's feud with the Biden administration over border security, urging states to send their National Guard troops to the border and promising to work hand in hand with the state to combat the invasion if he's inaugurated again in January of 2025. In posts on Truth Social, Trump backed Governor Abbott and accused President Biden of fighting to tie the hands of the Republican governor so that the invasion continues unchecked. That's 100% accurate. They should fact check that as true. They won't. A feud has been bubbling for months between Texas and the administration. It exploded in recent weeks after Texas seized the Shelby Park area of Eagle Pass, Texas, and blocked Border Patrol from entering. That's because Border Patrol is just waving all the illegals in to the country, and Texas decided they wanted to protect their sovereignty, even if the federal government doesn't want to protect the sovereignty of the United States, which is fundamental to fulfilling his oath of office as President of the United States. And impeachment proceedings should have begun long ago on that charge alone. Call it treason. Call it what you want. But impeachment proceedings should have already begun because of Joe Biden's war against the states. States that want to fulfill their constitutional obligations and their oaths of office to protect and defend. And it continues sparking protests and threats of legal action from the administration because, well, not just threats of legal action. They took legal action. It went to the Supreme Court because they want open borders. The Supreme Court this week also found in the administration's favor when it was granted an emergency appeal to allow agents to keep cutting border wire set up by Texas along the border after a lower court had blocked the administration from doing so. Time to appeal that again on new grounds. The two sides have been feuding since 2021 when the migrant crisis escalated and Texas launched Operation Lone Star to surge resources to the border. The administration recently sued over an anti-illegal immigration law that allowed state and local law enforcement to arrest illegal immigrants. That's because it's illegal and they're law enforcement. But the Democrats say no. What did we have the soundbite yesterday from the guy in Chicago? You can't make illegal legal. Well, no, that's not true. You can. The Democrats make illegal legal all the time.
Crime is at all-time high. You know, you can't make illegal legal. You know, no matter what you look, no matter how you do it, you can't make illegal legal.
Well, the Democrats can make illegal legal. They made pot legal. And it's legal most places now. They made magic mushrooms legal in Washington, D.C. You can go buy magic mushrooms in stores where you can buy pot so you can trip your brains out, smoke lots of dope. And then, like this young woman in Prince George's County, drive around running people over and stabbing people because it's Mad Max beyond Thunderdome. They're not liberals. This is the left. It's anarchy. And Andre Smith in Chicago, who's running for a statewide office there for a state house seat in Illinois, you can't make illegal legal. No, they make pot legal. They make mushrooms legal. They make shoplifting legal. They make organized mob shoplifting legal. They make stealing up to $950 from businesses legal. They make crime legal all the time. Then when people are, they make rioting legal. They made rioting legal. 3 days of riots at the White House forcing the evacuation of the president and the first family. Not a single person was sentenced to a day in jail. They made rioting legal. One of the Democrat rioters torched the Church of the Presidents. I think it's an 1815 church, St. John's, across from the White House. They set it on fire. They set the only building in Lafayette Park on fire. Nobody went to jail. They injured 160 to 180 police officers just in those 3 days of riots outside the White House in Lafayette Park. They attacked the Reagan Center. They attacked the Republican Center. Nobody was sentenced to anything. They made rioting legal. And then when a whole bunch of people in America thought, hey, rioting's legal now, they went to the Capitol, had a little two-hour riot, and suddenly it's not allowed anymore. Suddenly it's Pearl Harbor. It's 9/11 all over again. Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed while unarmed by a, you might as well call him a racist, police officer, U.S. Capitol Police. Where has he been? He was the hero of the story. He shot and killed an unarmed woman without warning for allegedly trespassing. No, it was insurrection. Every Democrat riot was an insurrection. Attacks on police stations, courthouses, police in the streets, burning police cars. Those are all rebellions or uprisings against civil authority, against established authorities, and the Democrats do it constantly. Never mind that. President Trump is right. Republican governors should be sending National Guard troops down in buses and planes and then filling the buses and planes with illegals and moving them to Martha's Vineyard with the airplanes, moving them to Chicago and New York and Washington with the buses. Screw you guys. How about that? They picked a fight. As Americans, do we stand down or do we stand up?
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Temperatures are low, but demand is high. You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hey, it's Chris Plant. Let's talk about something that's on the minds of a whole lot of our listeners, dealing with overwhelming credit card debt. If you're feeling like it's a financial nightmare for you, I've got some good news. If you're facing $10,000, $20,000, even $30,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt, there are programs available that can help you consolidate those debts into one single reduced monthly payment that you can afford. If you qualify, Accredited Debt Relief is on a mission to help you become debt-free in just 24 to 48 months. They've already helped more than 300,000 qualified consumers, hardworking Americans just like you, helped them pay off more than $3 billion in debt, earning them an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. So call Accredited Debt Relief now for your free no-obligation savings estimate and let them help you take control of your financial destiny. Call 800-820-3131. That's 800-820-3131. 800-820-3131. Program and services not available in all states.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Because no two people sleep the same. Only the Sleep Number smart bed lets you each choose your individual firmness and comfort, your Sleep Number setting. The Climate 360 smart bed is so smart, it actively cools or warms up to 13 degrees on either side for your ideal sleep temperature. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number special edition smart bed, plus free home delivery when you add an adjustable base. Ends Monday. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
New year, new hiring needs? Indeed's end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting indeed.com/credit.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLu is here for you. With DebtLu's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLu are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Tender steaks, juicy burgers, tasty chicken. Omaha Steaks is love at first bite. Now get four free boneless chicken breasts and four free boneless pork chops with your order at omahasteaks.com/sizzle. Omaha Steaks Butcher's Cut Filet Mignon, Top Sirloin, Premium Ground Beef Patties. It's heartland perfection. Order at omahasteaks.com/sizzle and score four free chicken breasts and four free pork chops. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Yeah, liberals over and over again say, well, we want open borders so that people will come clean our toilets and wash our dishes in the back of the house and restaurants. Mark Levin last night pointed out that the Democrats are defending slavery again, fighting for slavery again, for sex slavery and child sex slavery and child labor slavery and indentured servitude to the cartels, because it takes them years to pay the cartels back in many cases, and that is indentured servitude. And the left is fighting for that system, as they did in the 1860s. They're not on our side. I've got crazy audio for you on this topic, media and otherwise, coming up. In the meantime, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Mike, calling from beautiful Sunshine, Maryland. Michael, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, thanks for taking my call. You know, the leftists, they don't care about American lives, fentanyl and everything, but they also don't care about the lives of those coming to our poorest border. I ask your listening audience to Google rape trees. They dot our southern border, and they're festooned with undergarments of the young women who've been sexually assaulted under those rape trees by coyotes. And I can only imagine the number of lives that have been destroyed because of this porous border.
You're 100% right, of course, and I hope that people are aware of the rape trees that the human traffickers have turned into a thing along our southern border. And and it is profoundly disturbing to anybody with a shred of humanity left in them. And honestly, you're either with Governor Abbott or you are with the cartels. You're with Governor Abbott or you are with the child sex traffickers. You are with Governor Abbott or you are for fentanyl traffickers and more deaths. It's a pretty simple equation. It's about national sovereignty. It's about the law. But as you know, Mike, the Democrats have no regard for our sovereignty or for our laws.
That is correct, Chris. And one last thing I'd like to say is that, you know, there are young women who are given, believe it or not, Plan B, as they're making the trek through Mexico. They know that they're given Plan B by, you know, relatives and family because they know that they're going to be assaulted at least once during that dangerous trip. And it's just amazing to me that people want this forced border to remain porous.
The lack of humanity on the part of the left. I mean, look, the left, they're, as long as you got to recognize they're not liberals. They're the left. And some of them are too stupid to know that they've been pushed over across the line. But it is a time for choosing.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.